Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is your mustache as mighty in real life as it is in that picture still?
Yes. Hey everybody, welcome to the official WrestleMania 31 preview podcast for Pro Wrestling Ponderings. And when I say official, I mean the only one, not as in our views and opinions reflect everybody else on the website. But we did this last year for WrestleMania 30. We also did a follow-up podcast for that one. If you really feel like going back and listening to how stupid we sound, you can go find those there. But that was then, this is now, and we're going to do it again. And we brought back the same people. Of course, I am the host, Kevin Ford, but joining me is someone who I think I can't do podcasts without. I think I physically am unable to get rid of him. He's my co-host on both Viva Chikara and Flooping the Pig, Justin Houston. It's good to talk to you, despite what I just said. Yeah, it's wonderful. I'm sure a lot of people thought, oh, Kevin Ford podcast. Well, that other douche. Nope. Suck it, person that just wants to listen to Kevin Ford.
Yes, Justin is still here, but it wouldn't have just been me anyways, because someone who you may have all thought was dead, but no, he's around. He does NXT recaps for our website. He does PWG reviews for our website. But he's not been on a podcast with Justin and I since April of 2014. Matt Waters is here with us. Matt, welcome back. It is really good to talk to you. A lot has happened since we last spoke to you. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm okay. I have been on a podcast with Jerome, like the old school days, when he'd just call me up and just make me talk about stuff. But I haven't done silly podcasts for you guys in a very, very long time, and I've missed you both. And hey, I mean, you did one without Justin. You did one with just me once, the MK Fun Hour, and it was one of the best.
That was over 3 years ago at this point. That was really fun.
Oh, shit.
And the ECW Arena closed down, so what does that say?
We closed it.
But it's open again.
We opened it.
We didn't. We did not open it.
Okay.
Sorry to say. I don't even remember what podcast you would have done with Jerome.
I did a PWG year in review thing.
Oh, okay.
Where I said, put the belt on Candice LeRae, damn it.
Well, they put a belt on Candice LeRae.
No, I want the belt on Candice LeRae.
Fair enough.
Just once. Quick.
I'd watch Candice LeRae versus Roderick Strong.
Oh, man, he'd hurt her.
Yeah, we're not here to talk about PWG. We're here to talk about WrestleMania. And, yeah, I know it's weird. We're an indie website, and we're talking about WrestleMania, but we have fun doing it, so too bad. We're going to talk about it anyways. I don't really know where to start, fellas. I mean, not with the card or anything like that, but we did this for WrestleMania 30, but, I mean, a ton has changed since we last talked about it. The Shield's no more. All three guys kind of went their separate ways or in different positions on the card. Brock Lesnar won the title. He's been champion since SummerSlam. Daniel Bryan had to vacate the title because he got hurt, but then he came back, and his treatment's been something else. So I guess just as a general question, and I'll start with you, Matt, what have you thought of WWE since WrestleMania 30? And WrestleMania 30 in and of itself, just kind of as a primer, was a big couple of days as it was anyway. You know, Daniel Bryan defeated Triple H, Batista, and Randy Orton in a night to become the champion. Brock Lesnar ended the Undertaker streak. Cesaro won the inaugural Andre Battle Royal. The Ultimate Warrior, unfortunately, went to the Hall of Fame and then passed away just a few days later. So it was a super newsworthy few days, including Paige debuting on Raw the next night, winning the Divas title, and just a bunch of other stuff going on. So, but yeah, it's pretty tumultuous year for WWE, if nothing else. And Matt, what have you thought of it?
Well, it's very difficult to mentally box up an entire year's worth of WWE because it never ends. It is every single week. There's been a lot of up and down, like you said. You know, the Shield breaking up after being basically the best thing in wrestling for a couple of years almost. Certainly putting on some of the best matches. And, you know, Dean Ambrose as the leather jacket wearing babyface, the man of my dreams. That was fun for a while, and then he had his time in the main event, and then he got pushed way the hell down that card. Seth Rollins has climbed surprisingly high. You know, when they first signed Tyler Black, I thought, hey, yeah, good for you. And I did not picture him in this spot where he is in some ways the top heel in terms of the one that's there every week that is a full-time competitor. So that's kind of crazy. Roman Reigns, we will be talking about a lot later, so I won't get into that. D-Bry got his big moment, injured for a long time. You know, his feud with Kane was was certainly special. And obviously the show missed him quite a lot. And then all the Survivor Series match, the Authority finally ousted from power thanks to Sting, who we will be talking about later, only to come back about 4 weeks later. So when I actually talk about the WWE out loud, I realize I don't like any of it. But in my head, I do. And it's probably because I watch it all on fast forward and just pick and choose the bits I like and skip over the stuff I don't. So I have a very selectionist view of the WWE.
I mean, that's the way to do it. I see people live tweet Raw on my Twitter feed every week, and I don't understand how anybody can watch all 3 hours of that show with commercials every week. I had to do it a couple times, like over the summer when I was in the hospital or just regular circumstances, and I just wanted to scratch my eyes out. It was so just draining. Yep. I mean, anything for that long is a lot to digest, but when WWE has so much stuff that drags or so much filler, it really is a chore. Like, nowadays, I saw Raw at about 9:30 when I watch it on my DVR, and I'm caught up before the show's over. I mean, there's just, between commercials and things I just don't care about, like, I don't think I can physically handle another Kane or Big Show match as long as I live.
No.
But that's neither here nor there. But Justin, you, over the years, I think, have been the most vocally critical about WWE. What have your thoughts been about WWE summed up, I guess, over the past few months? Or, yeah, since pretty much since WrestleMania, although a lot changed. But pontificate whatever you feel.
It's pretty easy to, encapsulate. This has been a year that has been really about agitation. Agitation from fans, agitation from management responding to fans, agitation from fans responding to management responding to fans. It's just been a weird, sort of aggressively unproductive year from the WWE in terms of, from a development standpoint, it's because of a lot of reasons, but I don't even know where to begin. Really, the best place to begin is this quote Triple H had, not a quote, but doing a shoot interview with Steve Austin. He mentioned, was it with Steve Austin? It might have been a written interview. He basically mentions that the hardest thing every week to do in WWE for him is filling the third hour of television every week on Raw. He made it seem like he would prefer to go back to 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which, I mean, he explicitly said that on the Steve Austin podcast.
Yep.
Right. Okay, so that's the place. This is a show that, it's just mind-boggling how much talent is on these shows, how easy it is to fill time, and yet they're still struggling to, all people are asking for is like more of this, more of that, more of this, more of these things. And what they're saying is, boy, we really need less time to tell these stories properly. It's kind of, we're at this impasse where fans are saying, we want this, this, and this, and the WWE is saying, we can only safely give you this. Like, we can only give you, like, this amount of things. And I know Triple H has said this is the era of reality, and it's been said on TV before, but he's an era too late. The era of reality was the previous one. And I've documented all the eras that have happened in WWE. We are not in the reality era. We are in the fan era. We are in the era of the fan where they have decided they're not going to take it anymore. And that was kicked off when Sheamus at WrestleMania booted Bryan through his face. And the next night on Raw, fans just, they had enough. And they still do it. They like there's a contingent of fans that are tired of not just the product, but of the WWE trying to market itself like it's trying to blanket the earth, and that there's going to be something for every single person to get behind. And they're failing at that. They're failing spectacularly at that. The best part of WWE at this point is when they fail at this. When they aggressively pursue one avenue and the fans just literally load it with complaints to the point where they either have to deviate where we want them to go or they have to try to drive through it, and it's a literal car crash. The entire Reigns movement at this point has been an ongoing, bumpy, nasty evolution, and it's going to end up, we haven't gotten to the car crash yet because he hasn't gone completely insane and, like, started sobbing in the ring and, like, spinning in circles, mumbling, "What can I do for you? What can I do for you? What can I do for you?" Because that's where we're going to end up. He's going to be driven mad because he's just never going to get the approval because they don't know what they're doing. And that's been the WWE. It's their reaction to this being the fan era. This entire year, you know, it was supposed to be, you know, after WrestleMania, it's supposed to be about Daniel Bryan. It's supposed to be about Brock Lesnar. It's supposed to be about all these big things coming out of one of the greatest WrestleManias, if not the greatest WrestleMania of all time. And it just died. It died for a lot of reasons. Injury was one of them. You know, Bryan getting put on the shelf. It died because of the really callous way they went about not only breaking up the Shield, but pursuing storylines in a way that was really detached from what we understood to be a brotherhood, and that what we had for 2 years invested time as a brotherhood, that they decided to flippantly call something else.
To me, a lot of what WWE's been about lately, and not even just lately, but the past year, is just stubbornness. Yeah. To accept that what they want is not what the fans want. And it, like, they have these weird, like, categories or things that they see in a star. And, you know, to me, lack of star power there is in the WWE these days, despite the fact that you want to talk about lazy, they can be lazy and say, the fans really love Daniel Bryan, they love Dean Ambrose, they love Dolph Ziggler. Screw it. It's lazy for us to just make them the top stars because people already love them. Yay, that works. But instead, they're like, are you sure you want Daniel Bryan? Are you sure you don't mean Roman Reigns? And the fan goes, no, we mean Daniel Bryan. And they go, we're going to give you Roman Reigns anyway. And, you know, hey, we really like Dean Ambrose. Are you sure you don't mean Bray Wyatt? I mean, we like Bray Wyatt, but we like Dean Ambrose more. Pretty sure we're just going to have Bray Wyatt defeat Dean Ambrose on 3 straight pay-per-views. And we're going to make Dean Ambrose look really stupid in doing so. And it's just like, well okay. And then it's just they don't accept that what they're trying to give the fans isn't what they want. And I understand if they say we're going to do our damnedest to make them change their minds and work really hard to do so. But they really haven't been.
I saw this quote. I think Sean Waltman might have tweeted it or retweeted it or something. But so this is like a paraphrase of a paraphrase, so excuse me. But I think Kevin Nash said that he was standing next to Vince during the Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Iron Man match at WrestleMania, and some fans were walking out because they were bored. And he said to Kevin Nash, I would rather a half-empty arena cheered for the guy I told them to like than a full arena cheered for the guy they wanted to cheer. And it's like, that is the most backwards logic in the entire universe, and it sums his entire personality up.
Well, and you know, like, it's hard to say because people change. And that quote, if that quote did in fact happen, I wasn't there, I didn't hear it. Yeah. That was 19 years ago. Yep. You know, people do change. But say Vince's opinion hasn't changed. You can't go forward with that mindset in 2015 anymore when there's tons of other alternatives. There's tons of other just channels in general. Like, forget wrestling. There's just so much other stuff to watch. You know, it's people don't have to accept that kind of stuff anymore. Like, even then, it was, you know, there was still WCW, but, you know, you didn't have a million other channels, you didn't have easy access to all the Japanese companies, everything on the indies, whatever else there is, if you want to watch wrestling, in addition to all the other billions of sports channels and just other channels that are out there, you are competing with everything. It's easier now for people to turn off WWE if they don't like it. And so they really have to start listening to the fans more and more.
Yeah, that's the thing, though, is that they won't. And they don't have to. They don't have to until they're backed in a corner and forced to. Or that's why I call it the era of the fan, because that reaction is so strong now. The things they were chanting Daniel Bryan at Roman Reigns. It didn't have anything to do with Daniel Bryan specifically, not necessarily. Anytime you hear, like, when fans start chanting Randy Savage at a match they're bored by or a segment they're bored by, anyone that thinks, boy, they really like Randy Savage, the point is they're cheering, they're doing anything but enjoying the thing you put in front of them. You cheer Daniel Bryan at Roman Reigns to let him know that this weird John Cena-esque version of yourself that you're presenting now is unpalatable and we would like you to fall off a cliff. As soon as possible. It's not about being a different wrestler. It's about not understanding what we liked about him to begin with and accentuating that. Yeah. He's allowed himself to become processed by this machine, and that's why I think the greatest thing to come out of this last year is NXT. Mm. Because it's free from it. It's almost as if Triple H is trying to create an indie brand to compete with the WWE in and of itself.
I mean, that's exactly what I think he's doing.
Yeah. How do you feel about that? Because you are, like, the most outspoken Triple H hater there is. And I'm not saying hater like you're hating. I'm just saying you don't like him. And he's responsible for this product that I believe you really like. So how do you feel about that?
Have you seen Max Landis' short film, Wrestling Isn't Wrestling?
I haven't. I've heard all the stuff about it, but I haven't seen it.
This falls exactly into line with this. And something I haven't spoke about or even written about that much because it felt like a continuation of some things I've already said about him, and I've really kind of rung Triple H's bell too many times at this point. That's another thing that happened this year. I started writing a column again, and then I stopped because it was maddening, and people told me it was making me crazy, so I cut it out. That's how kind of bad things got. But the whole short film was about how this insecurity that Triple H has as a character, gigantic air quotes. So if you think about him as both a character and as a human being, and he's going to create, he has to create his own brand, and he really just wants people to like him and think highly of him, much better than Vince McMahon. What naturally is he going to do? He's going to hire the absolute best guys that he possibly can around the indies, guys that we like, that he knows we like. He's going to give them time. He's going to fight. He's going to feel like, you know, go on TV and really fight for it as a brand and, you know, promote these guys. And he's going to, you know, he's going to do the little the wolf pack sign with all those guys and really give them coverage and then soak that in. So what it's another byproduct of him just needing approval. But because it doesn't actually involve him wrestling, he can be objective and he can say, oh, these guys are really, really good. You know, I don't have to bury them. I don't have to figure out where I fit in with them. I don't. From that aspect, he's created something incredible by just, as it turns out, if you put great wrestlers in a position to have great wrestling matches in front of interested crowds, you get a great product.
So you think NXT is a giant popularity stunt by Triple H?
In a way, I think it's also his way. It's both things. You know, Tom Rothman, when he was head of Fox, hated the X-Men. He finally allowed someone to make an X-Men movie out of spite, and it was successful, and it infuriated him. So he allowed a second X-Men movie, and he cut the budget on that a ton of times, and Bryan Singer just went, yeah, that's fine, and it made another successful movie. So the third movie comes along, and he goes, I know what makes a successful X-Men movie. Now he's all about it. So it's that same type of situation. It's a guy that fights something at the same time you're like, you're also getting credit for its success. That's what Triple H is doing. He's just creating this alternative brand against Vince McMahon, and he's saying, look, if it succeeds, we have competition with ourselves. If it fails, we can point at it and go, see, all these vanilla midgets that you champion failed and fell flat on their faces. It never grew, it never got any more interesting, it never got any better, and it's their fault, not ours.
Luckily,
right now, for us, we get to ride that wave until it reaches some weird impasse. We get to, you know, continue to see it to grow and grow and grow and grow. And the really interesting thing will be when it hits that ECW, or like kind of where Ring of Honor is, of it's too big to be small, too small to be big. We've seen what happens to every wrestling company when they're not, you know, funded by a giant billion-dollar conglomerate. They end up sinking or just dying off almost, eventually, given a few years. With NXT, when they reach that point, if there's any sort of stagnation, I'll be interested to see how they pursue it. But we're still not there. We're witnessing a brand that is not going to be at its peak for several years now. And, you know, they're already bringing in talent, you know, lots of great talent. And it's just going to get better. Like, you hear names like Samoa Joe. You hear the Briscoe brothers. You hear UA Nation. I mean, you know UA Nation's coming. A ton of these types of guys. And they're not giving goofy names anymore, like, you know, Skip Shart or something like that. You know, just like terrible, you know, where the fans are chanting Shart. They think, oh, they like him. And they're not, they don't like him at all. They're just chanting Shart. It's that, it's, you know, there's success. It feels like a successful thing. And so it's the one thing in WWE that, you know, like you said, where you see the WWE and you're almost sort of picking and choosing things, or like pretending it's better than it is to make it palatable. NXT is the only thing you don't have to do that for. NXT is awesome all on its own, just looking at it with your eyeballs.
I don't know. I just like to think that Triple H is a wrestler and he likes wrestling, and therefore if Vince is letting him have this thing, then he wants it to be more of a wrestling product, and that's why I think it's better.
I do wonder, since Triple H obviously has control of all the booking and stuff in the NXT television show, if he's also responsible for the training regimen that goes down there. Because as of yet, there's been nobody who came into NXT from scratch, like who learned just all through NXT, who has made it on real television and been a success. You know, everybody who's come in there who's been a success is it's all people who are on the indies or in Japan or elsewhere and didn't just come to NXT saying, I don't know thing one about wrestling, got trained, and then it went on to be this great thing. So it's almost like, oh, we're getting these great indie matches, that's awesome, but it's almost like a smokescreen so they can say, look at all these guys that we produced, in air quotes, to make himself look awesome.
Do we count Roman Reigns? I mean, I know he came in FCW, but...
Yeah, no,
they
no
do.
He was FCW.
They're counting
that's
him
a
already.
That's a completely different training.
He was on, like, two episodes of NXT, and they claim him as an NXT guy.
But no, he started in FCW, which is a WWE, but that's different trainers and different philosophies and things like that. And by the way, by TV, I meant Raw and SmackDown.
And that's the thing, too, is that this year has been, even in NXT, there's been layers of that WWE level of sort of disgust, you know? Bill DeMott. I mean, I've been saying, every opportunity I got, I've been saying for years that this guy is nasty, no good, and doesn't need to be their trainer. And there, another reason you call it the era of the fan is because do you think for a second that he would have been fired if people hadn't been pushing for it on social media and turning it into a story? He'd still be down there. He would still have his job if there wasn't pressure applied. It wasn't about, like the total number of people. It was that fire Bill DeMott was trending for long enough that actual news outlets went, well, I guess we have to pay attention to this. What is this? You know, that's what it is now. It's perpetuating a story to the point where people that can actually reach lots of people go, what is this? And that's what happened with this. That's what happened with canceled WWE Network, which obviously did not have the same effect on Vince because he was he's dead set on Roman Reigns. But that's huge that they got rid of a guy that was as, you know, offensive as he was, just a vile human being. And everything in the WWE, you know, you have this great catharsis moment. And this new arrival of Sting helping Dolph Ziggler, eliminate the Authority. And there's this, you know, it's supposed to be this big moment. But we all knew. I think I even tweeted right after. I think I wrote, I give it 6 weeks. And that's basically exactly how many weeks it was. It's that same thing of every good thing that happened this year was followed up by a crappy thing. And it didn't. The year before, because Bryan was just such a breath of fresh air, along with the Shield, along with the Wyatt family, that even the crap just got pushed out of the way for just amazing stuff. And this year, they broke them up, they dispersed them, they gave them bad stuff to do. It was huge step backs. And you look at the WrestleMania card and you go, Yeah, that's the type of year we've had. That exactly encapsulate this year. Most of the exciting elements in one match in an arbitrary fashion, and everything else, you just sort of, you don't hate it, but you're scratching your head going, did they think I wanted this? Did they think I was really desperately clamoring for this? Did this be my WrestleMania?
I've had more than one friend. I want to see at least four or five. Who have come to me and said almost exactly the same words were, should I feel bad that I'm more excited for the NXT special on Wednesday than I am for WrestleMania itself? And first, no, you shouldn't feel bad because that's how you feel. But second of all, how could you not? Like how, with what they've done with both of those brands, it's easy to see if someone would feel that way. Most people are just like, you know, it's a WrestleMania, but it doesn't feel like a WrestleMania. And if you think about it, if you take away all the guys who aren't full-timers, if you take away... I already think it's a really thin card as it is, but if you take away Taker, Sting, Triple H, and Brock, like, you have a massive problem on your hands. And it's something that needs to be fixed. I know this is not an original thought, it's nothing new, but I don't understand how you're not a person on WWE putting together this card and just saying to yourself, like, holy shit, like, we didn't know how bad we had it until we put this together.
Well, that's the thing, is they don't know until we tell them. Because in the past, it didn't matter. It did not matter one way or the other. Fans would show up and react. This is one of those cases where, look, I'm rooting for Roman Reigns to go out there and have a tremendous match with Brock Lesnar. I can't put it together in my head what that match would look like if it was successful. But I certainly hope for it. I don't want the fans to be there and, you know, chanting Daniel Bryan and you can't wrestle and things like that. I hope that doesn't occur. But let me be clear. If it's occurring, it's not the fans' fault. It's WWE's. If they're not putting on an interesting enough product and the fans get either bored or they start off irritated, it's the WWE that's made the mistake. And I see them only fixing it if we demand it. That's, again, that's the era that we're in. That in the old days, it was all about TV ratings, and it was all about pay-per-view buys, all of those things, because television as a medium has leveled out, and because pay-per-view buys are sort of hard to quantify now because of the WWE Network, the only thing they have left to sort of judge reactions are actual reactions. They can fudge statistics however they want to, but when, you know, 40,000 people are all chanting no as Roman Reigns walks to the ring, and people start writing about this, and it becomes a thing that they ask you questions about, and you don't have good answers for them, it causes problems.
Do you think the network is a bit of a problem, though? Because they're getting this kind of guaranteed money now from people who may not even necessarily watch Raw. Like, they may just use that thing to go into their vault. But from their point of view, we have X number of people who are giving us this much money guaranteed, whether the product is good, bad, or indifferent. Unless there's a mass exodus of subscribers, is that almost giving them a green light to do whatever the fuck they want?
No, because it's not giving them free money, because now they had to go to no commitment $9.99 a month, and they can never go back on that.
Sure.
That's kind of the problem from the beginning is they gave us everything up front. They gave us WrestleMania up front. You know, UFC has Fight Pass, but they don't give all their pay-per-views away on there. And granted, they have probably, I don't know, a fifth of the buys the WWE Network has. But pay-per-view is not dead, as WWE wants people to believe. People are still paying hand over fist for those Ronda Rousey fights or any other interesting pay-per-views that UFC can put on. As long as there's interest and they make it feel like a big fight, people are going to buy it. I mean, that next Floyd Mayweather fight, that's going to be like $100 on pay-per-view, apparently. And people are going to buy it because it seems like a huge deal, and they do a good job building it up. WWE just doesn't do that anymore. And for them, pay-per-view is dying, and they want to convince everybody else that it is, so they look smart by doing this. But if people just are sick of it, there comes a point where you say, the old content is great, but I don't know if it's worth my $9.99 a month. And to most people listening to this, I think it is. Whether you just watch the pay-per-views. I mean, if you only watch the pay-per-views, it's worth $9.99 a month, I feel.
Yeah.
But if you don't have an interest in those, and you've kind of watched everything you've wanted to on the back catalog, you know it's going to be there for you if you feel like watching it any other day. Why not just cancel, save your $9.99, and then you can join up whenever you want, and cancel the next day if you really feel like it, and you'll be fine. And they can't go back to saying, we're going to give you everything except WrestleMania, or except the Rumble, or this or that, because they've already given it to us. They're stuck. They really shot themselves in the foot on this one.
They could, but
it would hurt so bad.
And that's the thing, is that they'll only know, just like everything in real life, that's how they have to respond to things now. If they come out and say, all right, look, we're not going to give you the big four pay-per-views anymore, if no one says anything, they'll just continue to do it. It doesn't matter. But when people immediately go buy and just cancel their subscriptions just based off of, not only just because they don't want it anymore, but also just out of frustration, and them going, whoa, 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 that forces them, you know, to make changes. But to answer, Matt, to answer your original question, which was about whether it stagnates them and whether it makes it kind of easy for them to get easy money, I'll tell you that it isn't, because they haven't reached their goal. They're not even close to not their goal. They're not close to the number that they told their shareholders. Everyone keeps championing, hey, they have 1 million subscribers, and that's what Vince McMahon told his shareholders. Domestically, he told them 1 million domestically. If memory serves, they haven't hit 1 million domestically. That's everywhere. 1 million subscribers all around the world. So they're still reaching. They're still having to reach.
Right.
And they're losing. They're losing people just as much as they're getting people in with like the free promotions.
I accept that. But to give you an example, when Roman Reigns won the Rumble, Cancel the Network started trending. I personally was very angry when Roman Reigns won the Rumble. And I wanted to cancel the network, but then I thought, NXT is coming up, and, you know, this is coming up, and that's coming up, and I might want to watch this. So I stayed with it, even though my instinctive guttural reaction was, fuck this product, middle finger, you're not getting my money, Vince. But then I was like, I would quite like to see NXT, please, sir, please.
Right, and that's I think, A, what they're banking on, and B, why I didn't give much credence to the canceled WWE Network hashtag. It was a nice sentiment. I understand what they meant by it, but the amount of people who actually went and canceled it was probably pretty negligible, something that they didn't have to say, well, shit, let's turn the boat around on.
Right.
And so that's why I remember I tweeted something like, don't just say you're going to cancel it. Just cancel it. That's the only way you're going to send a message.
Yeah, you talk with your wallet. That's how you get people's attention.
And that's not necessarily always true. Like, enough people who clamored for Daniel Bryan got their way at WrestleMania 30. But I think in the ways that it hurts them is public view. For example, I'm really surprised that they did anything with that group of fans who all dressed up like wrestlers on Raw. And I know back in the day, like, if people were on hard cam or whatever wearing, like, WCW t-shirts, like NWO shirts or whatever, or even after they did the logo switch, WWE fans had the old Scratch logo shirts, they'd ask them to turn them inside out or get another shirt. But there was no social media back then. They could do that and word wouldn't get around and there wouldn't be negative publicity. But that's why I'm surprised they do it now, because you like, they do it to one group of people and it spreads like wildfire and it makes WWE kind of look like jerks.
And do you know what that admits?
That's the power you have today.
You know what that choice admits? Like wanting people in the front row to be dressed more benignly. It admits, as a, whoever decided that, probably Kevin Dunn, it admits as a producer or as a creator of television product that, boy, we really need them to change, because there's a good chance the people watching on television are going to be more interested in the people in the front row than the dumb shit we have going on in the middle.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what you're admitting to yourself. You're admitting it out loud. It's like a no-win scenario. That's why I was okay with canceled WWE Network. And people sort of read it as like a literal thing, you know? As like, oh, I'm, you know, this is a defiant. That's not what it is. You chant CM Punk at Triple H, not because you want CM Punk back, but because you can't physically run in the ring and shove your thumb up his ass. You can't do that. That's what canceled WWE Network was to me. And it, you know what's funny? Is that people say it wasn't effective. It depends on your effectiveness. For me, it was just a really good way of, again, thumb right up Vince McMahon's ass. He's in a shareholders meeting. He's taking calls in front of, like, literally the biggest names in the company. And someone actually asks him what happened with canceled WWE Network. This was just some stuff a bunch of people was tweeting, and now he has to answer about it to the people that actually, like, own chunks of his company. That's amazing! That's a thing that people did, and it's just a thumb right up that dumb old man's ass.
So we all know what it's about. We know why people chant CM Punk. We know what people really meant when they said cancel WWE Network. But if someone brings it to Vince's attention, hey, this is trending, he'll go, how many people have canceled the network? And he goes, I don't know, maybe five. He just nods and goes back to writing whatever piece of paper he's writing. But if people are on investment calls are saying, like, oh, we saw this canceled WWE thing, like, what was that about? They say, people didn't really care for the result of the Royal Rumble, but we hit 1 million subscribers and like the day after that, and so the difference was negligible. Like, that's all they had to say, is once that canceled WWE thing came up, the next day they said, we now have 1 million subscribers. And that's, and that, I guess, appeased all the people they had. They're not stupid, but maybe they just, maybe they do see what it's about, but they focus on it literally because maybe that's how they feel like that's the best to deal with it directly. At least then. You know, right now, it's okay, people saying cancel WWE, they're not happy with the Royal Rumble. Let's cease that fire now and worry about the rest later. Or don't worry about the rest later. But it's just put out one fire at a time as it happens.
But that's the thing, is that if you have enough, it just spreads. You know, we look at these, we look at everything. We look at, you know, the CM Punk chants at Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. We look at in board segments chanting the commentators' names and Randy Savage. We look at all of these things that cancel WWE as separate acts, when really they're not. They're all small fires. That's what the whole movement with Daniel Bryan was, chanting yes and no and everything else. It was, let's see how many fires we can start, and let's find out how many it's going to take for us to actually burn away part of this company, to get a reaction, or to get them to stand up and start, like, shooting foam everywhere. And that's what they did. That's what it was. It was, you know, every week there were the little pockets of a show that got messed up or didn't do what they wanted to do because people were chanting Daniel Bryan. And that was a small, these were small fires every single week. And then you'd get big fires. You'd get a segment featuring every Hall of Famer who ever held the WWE Championship in the ring, and all the fans are doing are chanting Daniel Bryan. Shawn Michaels can't get him to stop. Triple H, Mark Henry, no one can get them to stop doing this. You know, it's just because. That's a huge fire. That's one of those things that you can't ignore. And when they stack up, when they're over and over and over again, if something else, if WrestleMania sucks and cancel WWE Network comes back, then it changes the narrative again. Then it's, okay, what happened here? And then what happened there? That's the point of doing those things, is that they might not be, they're not effective on their own, but as a continual part of a process to elicit change, they're absolutely effective. Again, as I state, otherwise Bill DeMott would still be head trainer at NXT, and he isn't.
Right, and that's the thing, is they fired Bill DeMott, and now that's over. But there's not about, okay, but wait, what about all these other things that happened? What about taking responsibility, or, you know, all these other things? Now it's just over. And, you know, there's still some indie wrestlers being like, hey guys, we need to probably work on some of these past things. Like, nah, he's gone. It's fine. It just is what it is.
I mean, the whole point, at least for me, from the fire of Bill DeMott, is that I really, really wanted them to fire Bill DeMott. That was sort of where I wanted them to go with that. And they did that. So anything else.
But it's like, okay, they fired Bill DeMott. Does he not have to pay for any of his past transgressions? Like any like sexual assault or anything else that he may have done?
Well, no one's just over. No one sued him, so.
Right. I mean, it's the same way, like, you can derail Bill Cosby's career, but you can't force law enforcement to get involved. All you can do is create awareness. And enough awareness was created that he lost his job at some point.
WWE could have done a real for deal background investigation on him, as opposed to that we did it a thorough one and it all checked out okay.
Well, no, because then they look bad for letting it happen. Exactly.
And listen, it's going to come to that. If you think for a second that at least one of these people hasn't gone to a lawyer and says, hey, how do I, you know, is there something we can do here? Is there a measure that I can take here? It's certainly something that's going to happen, but I something I'd like to see. Of course I want to see that son of a bitch get his comeuppance, but it's kind of, you know, so the battles we fight the battles that we know we have a chance of winning, or at least making a difference or reaching people. I don't know what more we could do at this point to, like, reach the WWE on this particular issue, especially considering that they've already sent, like, cease and desist, or not cease and desist, but, like, letters about not talking about that time and trying to silence people about it. That's up to the people getting these letters. That's up to the people that have these grievances.
Well, that's, to me, it's, I will never understand why a stockholder in a call has not said, why do you guys continue to make Roman Reigns the focal point of your program when it seems people are much more interested in others and not so much interested in him? Like, why has nobody asked that question?
Well, a big reason, I think, is because everything I've heard is they don't like Daniel Bryan any more than anyone else does. And the constant thing that my understanding was that they believe that Daniel Bryan is a byproduct of people liking to cheer yes, and that's it. That's truly
oh my god,
if that were true, they wouldn't do it louder for him than they do generally. That's
right,
that's the simplest way to defeat that argument.
And pretty much only for him, as opposed, unless it's to antagonize the authority during a segment, but it is still in the spirit of him.
We're dealing with people who don't necessarily think logically. I came to the conclusion recently that there's two kinds of people. There are people that would argue to God's face. People that would literally not look at an all-knowing being and say, yeah, I don't have any idea. I don't know. You know everything, okay? I can't lie to you. I can't say anything, you know, in this regard. You would know. And there's people that would look at him in the eye and go, well, it depends on your perspective on that particular issue. It's like, this is an all-knowing being. You can't argue with something that is all-knowing, an omnipotent creature. That's crazy, and that's the type of logic that you find, that you're dealing with in this scenario. People that just you'll be shown every logical reason. As a person growing up in the South, I can tell you that it's very tethered with actual religion. You can show them every reason that something doesn't make sense or something is completely irrational, and they'll just sort of toss it aside. They'll go, yeah, still do it this way. It's the, like, when your parents said, and it's the thing that I refuse to use as a father, because I said so. It's that I've run out of ways to argue this with you, or explain this to you. So I'm just going to play the all-seeing, all-knowing card. And that's sort of, you know, Vince McMahon goes on with you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin says, you know, things are this way. Things are, you know, I listen to the fans and it's really, I don't have an ego in this. And you know, part of you believes it for like a second. And it just dissolves. It just goes away because you know that this is a man who he makes his own decisions. And when it lines up with what he believes, you know, when it's successful, he points and says, look at that. Look, we did it. And when it fails, he goes, well, they just didn't understand. Or, well, you know, it's their fault for not, you know, going along with it. So,
well, that's kind of the example of they fit their own weird narrative. Like, for example, WrestleMania 25, Taker and Shawn steals the show. People claim it to be maybe the best match of all time. Triple H and Randy Orton is a stinker of a main event. But because it's Triple H and Orton, they go, well, nobody could have followed Shawn and Taker. Jump back a few years to WrestleMania 18, Hogan Rock. No one could follow Hogan Rock. Triple H and Chris Jericho have an all right, but obviously not as spectacular match that Hogan and Rock turned out to be. And it's like, well, obviously it's just because Chris Jericho's in the main event. Nobody cares about him. It's just weirdness that they do that sometimes. They'll just say whatever they want as long as it fits their story.
Yeah, exactly right. But at the end of the day, you know, we've talked about the difference between making a difference and, like, you know, I say thumbs up asses. Daniel Bryan was not in the main event of WrestleMania 30 because Vince McMahon came around and thought, well, you know, he is pretty plucky and go get him. And boy, that'd be just a heck of a moment to have. He reached the point of critical mass. There were too many thumbs. There were just too many thumbs. And if he didn't do it, it would literally tear his asshole apart. and that's what it reached. And he just said, fine. WrestleMania 30's tagline should have been, fine! Are you happy? Like, that's literally what it should have been.
I wish it was.
And we would have said, yes, 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 with fingers in the air. That's what those fingers are, mocking him, pointing, saying, at any point, we could stick this in any orifice you have. We will do it again. We'll probably do it at WrestleMania, at this really weird, you know, question mark laden card. You know, that's been this whole year. This whole year has been, they take something and we yell at them and then they yell at us. It's been one big argument for like 12 months since, well, like 9 months since Brian left. And they're like, well, now what? It's just been lots of like pointing at each other, screaming. And then Sting showed up.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's 56 years old. Sting is 56 years old.
He looked good on Raw.
That is incredible. Yeah, he's looking amazing. I don't know how he does.
Well, because he's not done anything for a year, so he can, you know, be healthy and just train sensibly.
No, he hasn't done any. He hasn't done anything since WCW closed. Have you not known?
It's true. Oh, yeah, of course. Years.
They put him in like a cryonic chamber, like Walt Disney.
The only thing it didn't preserve is your hair.
We should probably talk about this card. It's been what, like an hour since you've been talking about WWE, and not one peep about WrestleMania 31 or WrestleMania play button as the logo, what have you. Believe. And I guess we'll start with the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, the second one they're doing. I believe this year is only 20 people, and last year was a full 30. And the participants that stands are The Miz, Curtis Axel, Ryback, Fandango, Adam Rose, Zack Ryder, Jack Swagger, Titus O'Neil, Darren Young, The Big Show, Kane, Eric Rowan, Damian Mizdow, Sin Cara, Goldust, Heath Slater, Mark Henry, and the winner of the NXT WrestleMania Access Tournament that they're going to be holding in San Jose just a couple days before that. I believe that brings us to 18 participants, and yeah, I don't know. Justin wanted us to play a game during this podcast called What Will Sheamus Show Up During and Ruin? I think this is a very likely spot for that to happen, especially since there are two openings for this match. I think in my dream world, Curtis Axel wins this. I genuinely love WrestleMania. I think it's been a great push. And it's really the only guy that they've done anything with to build up as a potential winner for the Battle Royal. So I say, why the hell not? Mizdow would be another great candidate for that, yeah. Too. But I think, if Sheamus is not in this, my guess would be Ryback. But I think this is, you know, they keep saying Sheamus returns for months now. I just think this is, they're going to throw him in as a surprise, and they'll have him win. What do you think, Justin?
Well, you're pulling the trigger too early on, you know, what the Sheamus here. or whatever we call it.
We can bring up all the scenarios during the show. This just happens to be the one I think is going to be.
Yes. Okay. Which is probably the most likely. It's the probably the best place for him. And in which case, it would make a lot of sense if he won. But I feel like Ryback is gonna win this. They've kept him pretty strong. I think he'd be a good representative there. I don't know what it would lead to necessarily, considering kind of where I feel like they're going with the rest of the card. But you know, it's who gives a shit about this stupid match? I mean, not only it was shitty last, it was not shitty but stupid and needless last year. And it's like, well, they destroyed the trophy. Let's make another one, and then we'll make it, 10 less guys. Let's just make it a slightly shittier than last year's already fairly shitty affair. I don't understand it.
It was awesome for us when Cesaro won. It's just too bad it went literally nowhere.
Aggressively
nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, I think I wrote about it, where they, you know, you have him on top of a company, and then you have him turn heel, but still doing like face moves because he was the King of Swing, and you give him a heel manager and you have him facing off with a guy that's supposed to be a face, but no one really liked Jack Swagger anyway. It was really like a weird thing where they're like, how quickly can we squander this opportunity? And it turns out pretty damn quickly, almost immediately.
Yeah, like next day they put him with Heyman. I was like, well, he probably should have been a babyface, but okay.
Yeah, we even skipped, you know, Cesaro was in the pre-show now in the four-way. They officially announced it. The four-way tag match.
Oh, did they?
Yes. Yeah, it is official that just like last year, wasn't the prelim a four-way tag match for the belts?
So this is on WWE.com and everything?
I don't know where it is, but it was announced. It's the Usos. It's the Brass Ring Club. They're the champions. It's the Los Matadores.
Oh, sorry. I realized what you said. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, I didn't know they had a team name.
That was supposed to be what they were called, and I guess they haven't made it official. They probably will never make it official because that, you know, just makes Vince seem stupid. It just reminds people of that stupid thing Vince McMahon said.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it on WWE.com, sir.
I can't. I mean, I'm doing this from my phone.
Because I thought they were still deciding if one of the Usos was healthy enough to compete at WrestleMania.
So did I. And then I read some kind of press release about it saying that they'd announced the match.
Because I thought, if nothing else, since the Usos aren't champions, they could have just replaced them with the primetime player, since they're another babyface tag team. Replace them with the Ascension in the Battle Royal, put the healthy Uso in the Battle Royal, and then last spot goes to Sheamus. But hey, if the Usos are healthy enough and they're in it, that's great. That's fantastic. But I did not see it officially on WWE.com.
What do you think the Ascension is? Do you think they're out just like in the desert boxing cacti?
They're on Superstars like every week, apparently.
So they're only on the desert boxing cacti. That's the equivalent.
More people might see them doing that.
Right, than actually see a show. You said it was called Superstars?
Yeah, it was like a show back in the day. It was. I remember I came home from soccer practice once when I was like 5 or 6, and the main event was Undertaker versus Coco Beware. But
hashtag
I don't think I've seen Superstars.
Bring back Velocity. That's what I want. Bring back Velocity. Two
Velocity matches on the new Daniel Bryan DVD.
Really?
Yeah, when his match with John Cena is a match with Jamie Noble.
Oh, the one with Noble. I was like, I know the one's going to be Cena. But okay, that makes sense. Anyway, back to this. We'll go back to the. We'll skip the tag match. We'll pretend it's not official.
We'll go back to the tag match after this.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, it's just another Rumble. It's another Battle Royal. It's needless. I've been saying it for years. Get rid of Survivor Series as a pay-per-view, bring back King of the Ring, and move Survivor Series as a permanent part of WrestleMania. It's something people will recognize. It's a way to shoehorn in a bunch of guys needlessly, which they love doing, only now it'll have some general premise.
Is it wrong that if Ryback wins, one of the biggest reasons that I want him to is so Curtis Axel and him could have a grudge match at Extreme Rules?
That is perfectly acceptable.
I'll say this. I thought there was nothing WWE could do to make me care about Curtis Axel. I was wrong. I'll admit I was wrong, everybody. Axelmania has been fantastic.
I could see him winning. I don't have him, for the love of God, don't have Ryback eliminate Axel in the match. Otherwise, the whole point of Ryback winning will be lost. Because they'll just boo him the entire time. I hope if there's any brains at all, It's that Sheamus will enter the match as a heel. When Curtis Axel comes down as the last man, Sheamus comes out and attacks him. And once again, Curtis Axel has not made a battle royal. So now he can complain about Royal Rumble. He can literally stand there and say that he is actively in two battle royals as we speak. So there's no reason that I think they're probably going to do that. Yeah, two predictions for this match now. I'm saying Ryback wins. Curtis Axel never makes it to the ring.
Do you have a prediction, Matt, for this battle royal?
I underline Damian Mizdow's name, but if Sheamus is in it, I think Sheamus will win. Is it worth predicting who the NXT guy is out of Tyler Breeze, Adrian Neville, Hideo Itami, and Finn Balor? I think not Breeze because he needs to do his entrance and he won't get to.
I'd say Neville.
I would say Neville, and he does a crazy move onto the pile from the top rope or something.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Itami.
Yeah, so they can go, look, it's WrestleMania, international everything.
Yeah, I do think, though, that they're ready to move Neville up to the main roster. He could be a good candidate for Raw after Mania debuts. Like, maybe he gets tossed by somebody, then they have a match the next night and he wins.
Well, that's the thing with, that's how I kind of ruled them out. I thought, all right, so let's put all four of them. All right, Breeze, you need the entrance.
Yep.
And you get no entrance if you're doing that.
Balor's too special.
Balor, you need something. You need a better debut. I still think he should debut as some sort of weird, creepy spiritual rival to Bray Wyatt. But that's a whole other can of worms. With Neville, how can he really shine in a battle royal,
The top rope onto a huge pile of people. Done.
Or, yeah, he does the Kofi.
Wait, he eliminates himself? Or they carry him and they throw him back in the ring?
No, like, he gets up on the top rope and everyone's in the middle of the ring and he just jumps onto the pile, does his finisher, but onto a standing group of people.
If he lasts towards the end, he'll have more room to do cool stuff. And if he eliminates one of the big guys, like, if he's able to eliminate Big Show or Kane or Mark Henry, like, that'll be good.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess so. If they said they were getting a shot at, like, the Intercontinental, like, they were the eighth man there, then that would make sense to me. But I just think Itami makes a lot of sense because, he's an up-close brawler. He's a smaller guy, so it wouldn't be, he doesn't lose anything from getting eliminated. And he hasn't made a debut. We've seen Neville before on an episode of Raw. This would be the debut of Hideo Itami in the WWE. He would actually on their programming. It would be...
Yeah, but it would be in a nothing... It would be in a nothing match where he doesn't do anything.
But you're not thinking about it here. You're thinking about the DVD that you want to put out with them 5 years
from. Okay. Like how Rusev debuted in the Royal Rumble.
That's why they do it. They do it so they could say, oh, he was, he went from here to here, that's why they like to do these things. And I really feel like Itami's going to be that guy.
Maybe.
So you're saying my 3-disc Zack Ryder set is coming?
Three? No. They're doing a retrospective. Four. They're doing the whole career.
Yes.
Four DVDs.
Fantastic. All right, so I guess we can talk about this tag title match. Do you know is it elimination again? Did what Reed say that?
No, I didn't even bother.
Anyways, it's Cesaro, Tyson Kidd, the champs, defending against the Usos, Los Matadores, and 2/3 of the New Day. They've used all the combinations pretty much, so I'm not sure exactly which two of the three they'll use. I guess it would be Kofi and Big E. But the thing is they also have four. Each group has a manager, so I was hoping for some weird trio four-way match where the winner, you can pin Torito to eliminate the Matadores or anything else, but I guess they don't want the women involved with the men.
She powerbombed Torito on SmackDown.
Yeah, but they don't Torito as a person.
Which is
they don't treat midgets like people.
That's pretty messed up.
Yeah, it is messed up, but that's how they feel. And so poor Xavier Woods. Anyways,
can we just talk about for a second? How much better R-Truth would fit into the New Day than Xavier Woods? It's absurd how much better. First of all, he's a former tag champion with Kofi, and that stupid, how he does the big ending and they jump off the top rope. Big E and R-Truth could literally do their finishers on one guy at the exact same time. He's a better talker. He already has this sort of spirit of the group. I don't understand it.
I have an answer for you, but I will get to that in the ladder match.
Okay.
Yeah, so Cesaro and Kidd are probably going to win.
Yep.
I am going to say that, I really wanted to say somebody else, but then I went through the names and it would just kind of made me shudder.
I mean, when you think about it, they literally didn't give, a hot shit about the Matadors or New Day until a week ago.
It's true. And they were heels.
So they're not going to get it.
They were heels because
they're not going to get it. The Usos are, one of them's hurt, so they're not going to get it.
Yeah.
And look, yep. I really like Kid and Cesaro, so I'm plenty okay with them keeping those belts.
Yep.
Nope. I've changed my mind. They're gonna adjust the match before it even starts. Wild card. I am saying that the Ascension win the tag team championship at WrestleMania.
Oh, boy, I hope you're wrong. All right, so the Road Warrior ripoffs get the penny belts. Excellent.
Yeah!
Oh, guys, important thing. So I'm going to be watching WrestleMania with my girlfriend, and she doesn't care about wrestling. So I told her, the way to make this fun is we'll make up a WrestleMania drinking game for her. And I need something in each of these matches. I figured you two could help me on this podcast come up with things for each of these matches that she can drink to. Like, for the women's match, I'm saying every minute it lasts, you take a drink. What can I do in the Battle Royal to make her drink?
I mean, every elimination seems easy, but... Yeah. I mean, or are you doing, like, sips of beer, or are you doing shots? Like,
I mean, she'll die otherwise. I mean.
Right. Because I was going to say, anytime, like, the announcers say the showcase of the Immortals or, like, mm-hmm. the biggest stage or anything like that, that needs to be a drink.
Okay.
And then again, then you have something to do for all the shows.
Okay. So should we say in the Battle Royal every elimination is a sip?
Yeah, I would do that.
Okay. Sorry. In every match, I'm gonna watch.
And that rule can qualify for the tag match as well.
I don't know if we'll see that, but yeah, sure.
At the Battle Royal, I would do any time someone gets eliminated and lands on their feet, but then decides to take an extra bump anyway. You know what I'm talking about? Where, like, they get clotheslined and they bounce. They're like, oh, no! And then, like, go tumbling again.
Or maybe, like something unnecessary. Like, they get clotheslined over the top, but they decide to, like, hit their face on the mat, too.
Yeah.
How about every time they compare the Big Show to Andre the Giant?
Yeah, that's okay. A good time.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Anyway, sorry, I didn't want to derail.
Anytime JBL makes a reference that predates 1950...
Okay.
Which is way more often than one would think. All right, let's talk about the Divas tag match. The Bella Twins against AJ and Paige. It sure is happening. I mean, I guess those are, if you're going to put Divas on WrestleMania, these are the four you want.
Yeah.
But again, the Divas title not defended on Mania. Then it's been, what, twice? I think you pointed this out, Justin, last year that WrestleMania 30 was defended, but before that it was WrestleMania 23. So, but you know what? This is good. Instead of just being like, hey, let's follow the divas out there, they're actually doing something that's focused to a certain group of divas who actually have a storyline around it. So I'm okay with it. But I do think since the Bellas are the brand and the team that is the one that sticks together, and Paige and AJ always have their little issue, I think it makes sense for the Bellas to win, and AJ and Paige could continue being frenemies, although nobody actually calls themselves that. So that's my thoughts.
It's true. I don't see why this isn't for the Divas title, and you could do interesting stuff like Nikki... Brie wins the title, and then Nikki's like, what the hell? Of course,
someone did say that, and I think that is a really good idea.
Yeah. I mean, of course, that leads to another Bella feud that then they ignore even happened. But still, just the possibilities of all four of these people turning on each other. Or you could do that, and the Bellas remain united, and AJ and Paige, you know, their individual desire for the belt makes them not work together well as a team, and they lose.
Something interesting, like if Brie were to win the title, Nikki can feign like she's proud of her, and then the whole thing comes down to, she turns on her, and she's like, well, I was there supporting you the whole time you were champion, you're going to be here for me, right? She's like, oh yeah, totally.
And forearm then one day, to the face.
Right, and then see, one day, it's just like, kick to the face.
Yeah, that was my whole dream about the way this would go. When I, like months ago, and I was like, well, what would I want WrestleMania to look like? It was a four-way between these, and the ending was that, like, AJ applies the Black Widow to Nikki, and, like, Paige, like, kicks her away and throws her out of the ring, and then Paige goes to, like, she's applying her submission, and then Nikki comes in to stop her, or, like excuse me, Brie. Brie comes in to save Nikki, and she goes to stop, and instead she, like, stops herself and just, like, looks, like, Nikki in the eyes and smiles real big and, like, starts chanting yes. And she just goes to leave. Like, she's just going to leave her sister. But Nikki's like, you're my sister! Please! Like, she's screaming. And Bree's like, fine. So she kicks Paige away and helps Nikki up. And then she locks on the LaBelle lock and then taps her own sister out at WrestleMania. And so you can change the dynamic. Have Nikki be the subservient one. Now Bree's the dominant one. And you can even keep them heels or turn one of the AJ or Paige. Either way, I thought that would be a fitting sort of... So you didn't just completely bury Brie as a character who was made to be a slave and then just basically decided, yeah, I like slavery. Slavery's great. Up with slavery. So
Nikki said she wished that Brie had died in the womb, and that's just fine. Okay. Sisters!
Yeah. We got over it. It's water under the bridge, okay? Everything's awesome now. It's awesome sauceable. So I don't know. I don't get it. Like, they really needed a fix there, and I think Bree looking her in the eyes and going, I was never your friend. I was never okay with this, and now I'm going to watch you get ruined. And then deciding, wait, I can be the one to ruin you, would be, you know, plenty.
Instead, more likely, this match lasts about 2.5 minutes, and AJ and Paige each do, like, 2 signature moves, and then the Bellas win by cheating.
Yeah, I
hope because of your stupid game it's going to go 20 minutes.
You want my girlfriend to just die of alcohol poisoning.
Well, and you too.
I don't drink. I'm straight edge. It's all her. I'm watching WrestleMania. Okay. She's getting drunk in the corner of being annoying. Like, this is the perfect...
That's what girlfriends do.
Yeah.
So, the ladder match for the Intercontinental title.
Yep.
Wade Beard is the champion, although you never know it from watching TV. He's defending it against 6 other people in the ladder match. Those include Daniel Bryan, Dean Ambrose, Stardust, R-Truth, Luke Harper, Dolph Ziggler. I, for one, think this will open the show, if not go second, and I think anybody but Daniel Bryan winning is a mistake. Also, to answer your question, Justin, about the New Day thing, I think R-Truth isn't in it because I think he thinks his career is winding down, and I think maybe they threw him a bone to put him in this ladder match because his career is winding down. Because otherwise, I don't know any other reason why he would be in this match and not say Battle Royal or, I don't know, nothing.
Yeah, he hasn't even been wrestling much. Like, even on SmackDown in that big gauntlet match, he got beaten almost immediately.
Yep. Yes, he did.
Yep.
So it's like, you're right. I mean, it's definitely, yeah. It seems like his career is kind of winding down, but which is a shame. But yeah, he is an older guy.
Yeah, he's a lot older than I realized.
Why isn't there an 8th guy in this?
Sheamus.
No, but, I mean, do you really think he's coming in this match?
I do, yeah. I think it makes more sense for him to come in this than the Battle Royal. I think they care about Sheamus. The Battle Royal is just, who gives a damn? And I think that, you know, maybe he comes back and wins it, and it's like, fella, everyone's smiling, blah, blah, blah. But I think they care more about this match, and therefore they'd put him into this.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that happening. If they don't, like, why didn't you put, you know, why Goldust? Why not put him in there as a way to, you know, put heat on Stardust? There was someone else that I thought, why wouldn't you, like, at least give them an opportunity to do something like this? I can't remember who, like, you know, there's always, like, a Chris Jericho that could make a pit stop, Rob Van Dam, to sort of add, like, a name to the whole thing. And it's all arbitrary anyway, albeit I've really enjoyed everything going on with the Intercontinental title because it's just been fun.
Yeah.
And it's I've enjoyed the hell out of it, honestly. And it's led to some great matches too, like the 6-mans and the end of the gauntlet between Bryan and Dolph was tremendous. So I'm not gonna, you know, I'll talk about the integrity of a title, but I'm not gonna complain about great matches and you know, funny storytelling. I just, you know, I'm not gonna do it.
I do think though this is an opportunity. Like, I think Bryan wins the IC title, and then it just becomes basically the de facto SmackDown title, where he just wrestles long matches for like 20 to 30 minutes each week on SmackDown defending the belt. I think that's what they do with it, and that's what they do with Bryan.
Well, that's the rumor that's been going around. The rumor, it revolves around the idea that Brock keeps the title, which, as much as I'd like that to happen, I don't think will. We'll talk about it in a minute. Don't even respond. The rumor's been that he's keeping the belt, and therefore he's not around every week, let alone every month. So they would try and make the US title on Raw and the IC title on SmackDown almost quasi-main titles, and they'd be defending the main events, and then you'd put them on the likes of Cena and Bryan, and they'd be guys that are here every week with belts to go after. I mean, I can't really see heels being like, I want your U.S. title. But, you know, I didn't see Cena, like, desperately trying to get the U.S. title, so here we are.
Yeah, I mean, why not? If Brock is gone and they can't go for that, why wouldn't they go for the U.S. title, especially if someone like Cena has it?
I mean, I think they're a few months too late in this idea, but, you know.
But that's the nice thing about WrestleMania is it's like a season closer. And then you have Raw the next night where you kind of jumpstart all the, for your calendar year leading up to the next WrestleMania. Why not start it off with that? Why not start it off with the US and IC titles becoming more meaningful belts? But anyways,
agree. I think that's a great idea. Yeah, I just don't think they're going to do that because it just makes too much sense.
Well, like, so who do you guys think is winning the ladder match?
I really hate to say it, but I'm going to say Wade Barrett.
Ah, gross.
The reason they had him lose all those matches and knowing that it was, like, kind of okay, you put the belt on him again, like, legitimately, and you can buy him losing every single title match. I don't know why. I feel like they're going to. He got in crazy shape. He's one of the most underrated talkers in the company. I feel like they're going to kind of have him stand tall at the end, as crazy as that sounds.
I can see him being Brian's first challenger that he does a program with, but I do not think he's going to win the belt.
See, I see Brian winning the belt off him. He's the guy that beats Wade for the belt and then legitimizes it afterward. I think it's still kind of, we're a few steps away.
If it owns the show or whatever and Brian doesn't win, then you've turned the crowd against you for the rest of your career.
Potentially. I mean, that's the thing is, listen, I've said that they could have already done that anyway. So you better have something coming after it, whatever's going on, you know, to really bring people back up, because it's not going to be Reigns and Lesnar.
I think the only way that the people accept anybody Bryan winning is if CM Punk comes out and costs him the title, and that is certainly not happening.
I think you're both right. Everything Justin just said makes sense. Like, for Wade Barrett, you know, he loses, he gets the belt taken from him, he wins. Or like, and the way they could do it is Brian and Ziggler are battling out on the top, and then Barrett sneaks in and takes the belt, and Brian's like, you know, you've lost all the time, you've cheated, you've made a mockery of this title, I'm taking it, I'm making it legit again, blah, 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 blah. Problem is, it's WrestleMania, and it's a big moment, and you want someone like Brian winning. Like, I'm looking at who I think is going to win all these matches, and I think you kind of have to give it to Brian.
Here's also what I think for your drinking game.
Yep.
Anytime someone touches the belt, or anytime someone takes a ladder bump to the floor, and that includes if someone lands on the ropes and then falls to the floor.
Yeah, I encourage everyone to play a WrestleMania drinking game. This isn't just a private thing for me. Well, not even me, for my girlfriend to play.
Yeah, my personal drink in there is anytime anyone takes a ladder that's either already standing or propped against something and just sort of throws it on the ground, like, this isn't a part of the next spot. That's my do a shot moment.
Anyone who breaks the logic of the match.
Yeah, like you know, a ladder's standing perfectly fine. He's like, no, I want it over near here, near this turnbuckle where this flyer is standing. You know,
why would anyone ever set up a ladder in the corner for any reason?
There's no good reason.
There is no reason. And I think they used to always say that in the early ladder match. It's like, what are you doing with it over there? You can't win over there. Oh, look, something crazy happened.
Well, that's, you know, you had Jim Ross. Jim Ross can make anything sound like, you'd have Jerry Lawler going, he can't reach it from there. Jim Ross go, well, he's a tough competitor. He'll do what he has to do. You know, and then it's like, oh, maybe Jim Ross is right. He wouldn't lie to us. And then he reaches him like, no, he's 40 feet away. There's no chance. And then, oh, there's a table that just happens to be there. You know, and then Christian's dead.
Tell me you wouldn't lose your mind if a guy climbed the ladder in the corner, jumped, caught the belt, and pulled it down and won. You'd lose your mind.
Jeff Hardy is not this match, my friend.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, man. How cool would that ladder spot have been if the ladders hadn't fallen over when he was walking on them?
I remember it because Jeff fell. I remember it because Jeff, like, it would have been really cool, but it also kind of pleases me that Jeff fell, because it wouldn't have been a Jeff Hardy moment if it went, like, perfect.
Yeah, true.
You know, so when I picture it, that's one of my favorites. Yeah. This great, elaborate thing, and Jeff's like, yep, nope, and then that, you know, he crash lands, and that's sort of his whole career. But I'm a huge Jeff Hardy fan, so.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got 2 for Wade Barrett, 1 for Daniel Bryan.
Oh, I haven't decided. No, I'm going Sheamus.
Okay, Sheamus. Oh, Sheamus, whoa! Okay.
If he's in it. Sheamus, if he's not, Daniel Bryan. Same way with the Battle Royal. If Sheamus is in it, Sheamus.
Don't be a wuss. Pick one or the other. Be a man.
No, but it's an invalid guess if Sheamus isn't in the match.
Yeah, I'm okay with that being a blatant statement. You're saying Sheamus, wherever he shows up, is going to win the thing he shows up in.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
You heard it here first. Sheamus is winning the tag titles.
And he's going to win. He's going to bro kick Brie Bella in the face.
Oh, my gosh.
From one mid-card title to the next, the United States Championship, Rusev defends against John Cena. I'll be honest. I think this match is really contingent on whether Brock re-signs with the company or not. I really want Rusev to win, like, in the worst way. Like, you, I can't even explain how badly I want Rusev to beat Cena. And it has nothing to do with Cena. It's just Rusev is a dead character if he loses here. But I think that's going to happen. I think Cena beats him and becomes the champion.
Now, I'm trying to remember here. WrestleMania takes place in what country?
USA.
Oh, that, right. So not the middle of Moscow. Okay.
But as I told somebody, you can't have Rocky IV and have Drago beat Rocky. You just can't.
Exactly. As but, much as I want Rusev to win, no. Cena's winning, and we're it's going to play, and people are going to, you know, just kind of cry.
But here's a problem, okay? This whole angle is the same one they've done with him so far, US versus Russia, blah, 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 blah. The Mania crowd is far more international than the average WWE show. There is a decent chance that the crowd cheer the foreign dude.
I mean, it's possible. I told my girlfriend that it would be insane. I'd like to see it if it was an I Quit match and, like, he physically can't beat Rusev because Rusev's just better than him or, like, too tough or he just can't beat him. So Cena, like, duct tapes him to a chair in an I Quit match and threatens to set the Russian flag on fire. If he didn't say he quit, because he did all that crazy heel stuff to get the match. I thought, how would that go over with that crowd, with media members of John Cena, all American, threatening to burn another country's flag? And I realized it would not go super, especially because Lana might not be around for this, be around for WrestleMania.
So. Right. What if John Cena tickled him into submission?
Are you talking about character killing? anyway, I want to see John Cena threaten to burn a man's flag. That's not going to happen. He's just going to, he's not even going to pin him. He's going to tap Rusev out.
He is going to tap him out.
Well, he's going to tap him out, by which I mean he's going to grab his wrist and flex and stare into the hard camera for as long as he possibly can.
I would like Rusev to win, because I like Rusev, kind of, but Cena's winning.
I mean, there's always the off chance that Cena could get legitimately hurt.
Rusev could win if he deliberately stiffs Cena so hard.
Maybe there's an accident in the ring.
I mean, any number of things could go down. You know, you don't know with wrestling.
He'd be the most over heel in the entire company.
He just knocked him out with a straight kick to the jaw. Yeah.
In the first 30 seconds of the match, like they go for collar and elbow tie up, and he just Sambo kicks him in the face.
Cena's sturdy, though. He took some of those knees that Punk threw every once in a while. Because every once in a while, Cena takes a crazy bump, like to the face or to the neck. And I always think, man, he's so brave. But then my brain goes, no, you idiot. He doesn't know how to wrestle.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what he was supposed to do there.
He took a few punches from recently returned Brock Lesnar that busted him the fuck open. And it was like,
yeah,
oh,
man. Yeah, he just presented his face.
You are unlucky to be Brock's first opponent as he remembers how to pull a punch.
So there's always a chance Cena could just... Because he's usually really safe. Like, have you ever seen him take a Luke Harper boot? He puts his hands literally as far. He looks like Mr. Fantastic. Like, he's stretching him going, no! Like, because he knows that boot's like a heat-seeking missile right for his neck. And so he tries to. Every once in a while, Harper just kicks through it and still hits him in the face. And it, man, those are my nights. Like, I turn off Raw and I go, I'm done. I got what I needed. So, and I go beat off.
Okay.
Jeez.
That took a turn.
This match went so many weird places. I think we need to move on to another match.
What's my drinking rule? Every time JBL says Cena's going to let down his country or something like that?
I was going to say, to keep in the theme of what we've been talking about this match, you know that when Rusev like does that thing where he like cheers and he moves both of his arms like he's jerking off two guys? That. Drinker when he does that.
Okay.
That's Russian efficiency, by the way.
Like, do a continuous drinking. Like, you start when he starts doing that, and then you finish when he's done.
Gotcha.
How about you take a sip every time Cena salutes? Or, like, does something patriotic, like points to an American flag, or, like, high-fives a soldier ringside, or something like that.
I'd say every time you remember that Rusev is barefoot, and that's stupid, and he should wrestle with shoes on.
Badass, man. That's what that is.
Like, yeah, every once in a while you're just like, wait, he's not in shoes. What is wrong with you?
I'm a fan
of barefoot wrestlers.
Yeah.
I mean, I have never seen a barefoot wrestler that went like 3 straight years without like shattering an ankle or something like that. It always goes bad.
I don't recall Grizzly Redwood ever getting a foot injury.
Well, now let's be clear here. He already had pretty calloused feet from his occupation. And I don't know what Rusev used to do before the wrestling, so maybe that's the reason. Maybe he just, his feet are literally like shoes.
All I know is Rusev is one of the few people on the roster where I look at him and think, he could kill me, just easily.
He looks like a candy bar that you find under a couch.
What does that mean?
That's not a description. Like covered,
it's covered in hair, and it's like it's kind of off-colored brown. And you're just like, I don't know, man. And there's no pants on the candy bar. Or shoes.
Well, there typically isn't.
But a sexy lady says, "Enjoy this!" And you go, "All right." And you kind of chew it, and you're like, I guess.
All right, great. So three people think Cena's winning the title.
Yeah.
Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins, with no Jon Stewart involvement, apparently. This could be like the sleeper match of the night, I think. These guys are very much capable of putting on a really good match. I don't know, Orton wins?
Really?
It might make sense given what I think might happen, but yeah, I don't know. Orton wins with a question mark. It means I don't really have much faith. I think it'll be a good match, but I just don't really care about the story that's been going on.
I think it comes down to how many other heels and faces win or lose.
That's why I had the Bellas win, and that's why I had Cesaro and Kidd win, because I was like, well, some heels got to win somewhere.
Mm.
And who's to say what I think about the other matches on this card?
I'm surprised this hasn't been made like a no holds barred or something like that, and it still could be. But it feels like that's where you go with it, considering the whole thing revolves around one man horrifically injuring another using weapons. I'm surprised that their match on Raw wasn't something to the effect of the winner picks a stipulation or something like that. But
Orton says he's got to put the case up. But the point is they're fighting over, and now that directly affects the main event.
I don't want Orton in the main event.
No. I mean, after the main event. Like, if you're going to have...
I don't want Orton cashing in.
Really?
I would rather Rollins cashed in than Orton. I don't want Orton anywhere near the WWE title, like, for a long time.
That's kind of surprising, because I'm not saying, I'm not Randy Orton's biggest fan or anything, but it's not like the guy doesn't have a huge amount of buzz right now.
I like it when he comes in and RKOs people, and then, like, shows double fingers, even though it's PG. But I don't like him when he's in the main event.
For my money, I feel like if there's value in you know, Randy Orton having that opportunity, it's that you want Brock Lesnar to stay relevant, and you don't want to, for whatever reason, you don't want to put over Roman Reigns. And that way, people don't have to go home. I mean, is there a way that the main event ends where people don't go home kind of disappointed?
I think
Brock wins.
Well, it's hard to say without talking about the main event, Jess.
Right, that's true. But I really feel like that's where Orton is kind of, like, could come in as an asset to sort of, even if he holds the belt for all of 8 seconds, to kind of give people a big moment to cheer for, because, if anyone could put down Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton could do the job. So I feel like this match should have bigger implications, but I don't know. I don't think it will. I think Seth Rollins is just going to win the match and is going to end up cashing in on Brock Lesnar probably the night after WrestleMania.
I'm really surprised you think Orton beating her to end WrestleMania would get a babyface reaction.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what happened before it, mind you. It depends on what happens, prior to that. I think
Okay. Anyone
coming in, like, that's not just on its face. I think is a way of sort of salvaging what is a rough but necessary ending. Orton would be better suited for that than Rollins is.
I think Rollins wins this one. They have two rematches at the next two pay-per-views, and Orton wins the last one of those or something.
So they basically pull a Cena Bray from last year.
No, they just do it every single WWE rivalry. Heel wins the first one, babyface wins in the end.
Oh, except for Cena beat Bray in the first one.
Yeah, okay, fine.
That was smart.
Yep. Oh, man.
Hey, sucks. How's Bray doing these days? Oh, I know, because he's facing The Undertaker. Hey, how's that for a segue?
It's good.
Man, I'll let you guys talk about this one first. What are you guys feeling about The Undertaker returning after losing his first Mania match last year?
I mean, yeah, I can see why you would think, okay, he's lost, the streak's over, he's done, bye forever. But, I don't know, I know he doesn't really talk a lot, and, like, he has been reduced to nothing but the streak, but is a part of him not kind of like, I'm more than just a lucky winning streak, I am a competitor, I am whatever. And so if someone challenges him, Bray Wyatt is essentially trying to kill him. I mean, not in those words, but it's trying to fully end him. Like, why wouldn't he, for his own pride, p- pick himself back up and go, okay, I'll see what you got.
Yeah, I agree that, you know, that he's kind of become reduced to the streak, but again, that is the thing that he, you know, that's the only thing that he has going for him. He doesn't wrestle any other time of year. I think he'll show up and defend it. I think he'll win, honestly. I don't know if it's leading to larger things. I personally doubt that they're kind of setting up a long thing, but I know that Bray Wyatt's talked about consuming his soul almost, but it could be just the opposite. It could be that Undertaker, you know, gets something out of Bray Wyatt that may fuel him to move forward. Because again, Sting's 56. So it's not as if, and Undertaker is, you know, we know just because of his wife, he's really, you know, taking care of himself good, and he's, you know, trying to stay in shape. I think it's something he wants to continue, and I think if you're the WWE, if you're Vince McMahon, if you're not planning on the Undertaker coming for revenge against Brock Lesnar, you're making a massive mistake, because there's so much money in that it's crazy. And I think that a lot of people would like to see those that still have a bitter taste in their mouth over the way the streak ended, the Undertaker getting some sort of revenge on Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. And a good place to start, as much as I like Bray Wyatt, I'd be fine if Bray Wyatt came out, plunged his hand into Undertaker's heart, or like chest, pulled out his heart and like ate it in the middle of the ring. That's I'd love that. Great. But I think the Undertaker's going to win here.
I don't know, something. I think just sort of coming back off the streak, I think he will win. And you can maybe do an angle with Bray Wyatt there where he, you know, has to redeem himself again, or some. I came face to face with the devil and I realized I wasn't ready, or something, or just see what I'll do now, or something. I don't know. I instinctively put down the Undertaker. I don't know why, because I think if you have him, the streak ends, and then he loses to Bray Wyatt, that surely then he's definitely done.
I don't think so. I don't know. It's hard for me to pick who's going to win, because part of me sees Bray with help from the Wyatt family. For some reason, I'm like, man, this is where they could bring that group back together and do something with him. Because Bray, he did an interview in D.C. with Chad Dukes, one of the people here. And Chad was like, well, now the Wyatt family's all split up. And just quick to be like, well, you know, we're kind of in our separate things for now, but like we're not split up. He's been very careful to make sure that the Wyatts aren't like a definitively done thing. So part of me sees they do that, because I think Taker retires at Mania next year in Dallas. I think he goes in the Hall of Fame and finishes up next year against who? I don't know. But I can see him losing here and then saying, you know, all right, I've lost 2 years in a row, third time's the charm, presumably. If I can't get it done next year, then it's my time to leave. And then he doesn't get the job done there, and he's done. But I could also see him winning, going after the belt next year, or just going after another big challenge, losing, and then writing off either way. You guys both stay Taker. Just to make a bold prediction, I'll go ahead and say Bray wins.
I could see him challenging for the belt next year. That'd be a nice moment. You know, I mean, I don't know if he's physically able to do that, but
it also depends on the opponent. I mean, who knows? Maybe Brock will still be champion at WrestleMania 32.
I hope so.
And Brock vs. Taker in Dallas as the rematch of, 2 years since the streak was over. Man. And that's the thing. So if Taker wins here, then Taker can say, Brock's the only guy to ever beat me at WrestleMania. I need to get revenge for that. So I'm going to go after him and his title at WrestleMania in Dallas. My turf.
I don't even think there's no reason that you can't already tease it this year. But I'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Ooh.
How does one drink in this very serious match?
When something not serious happens. Something like stupidly supernatural happens.
Any sustained shot of either man where they cut to him and he's staring and they cut away before he blinks.
Okay.
That would be my, like, if it lingers for longer than 5 seconds and they don't blink in that entirety and then it cuts away, you're like, oh man, that's okay. That's because I feel like there's going to be a lot of staring without blinking.
Why don't you, she's getting really annoying by this point, if you want to just pass out and go away, have her just drink the duration of Undertaker's entrance.
Dear Lord, no one could take that.
She's like, start now.
It's coming.
Drink till your drink is done.
I promise he starts running any second now. I promise. He's going to run.
one sip per gong.
One sip per druid.
Oh, what about Rollins and Orton?
Any eased RKO? Because the thing is he has yet to hit the RKO on Rollins, right?
Every time Orton hits an RKO on someone that isn't Rollins as well.
You better hope he reins it in, that's for sure. If he's like, oh, RKO to the camera guy. Oh, RKO to a fan in the front row. RKO to Lillian. Like, it's WrestleMania. He's going to go crazy.
All right, so that brings us to Sting versus Triple H. Sting's debut in the WWE. They've been making up reasons for this match to happen. You know, WWE versus WCW ones that aren't real. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Triple H, it's the whole thing. It's Sting's coming in. Well, who's going to face? And Triple H just goes, obviously me. But thankfully, I think Sting's going to win this match. I don't know, thankfully, but it's better than Triple H winning for no goddamn reason.
I think Sting wins purely because how do you talk him into, hey, maybe you finally come and work for our company. Oh, you're going to lose, though.
Like, are you both out of your mind?
I know you think that Triple H, yeah, but how do you, how, tell me how you say to Sting, well, I guess here's $1 million, but how do you say to Sting, you're going to have one match potentially ever in the WWE, and you're going to lose straight away? At WrestleMania, you're one match.
It goes exactly like this. You say, listen, fucko, you're 56 goddamn years old.
He got by fine maybe, until now. Like, I don't see.
You have maybe, like, another year where you could must. I'm not talking about reality. I'm talking about the way you sell this to a man. You say you thought about quitting 10 years ago. You tried to. It kept pulling you back in. You want to be done with this. You have one feather left in your cap, and I'll let you do it. The only thing you have to do is lose to me, because, spoiler alert, I'm Triple H. There is zero chance Sting wins this match. Zero chance. Triple H hits a pedigree. Sting kicks out, he hits another, kicks out, hits a third, pins Sting, and that's that.
You think zero chance?
Zero chance.
Why did you not think that he would beat Daniel Bryan last year? By this logic, do you not think that, I mean, if you think Triple H just beats everyone always, how come he didn't beat Daniel Bryan last year?
I mean, I literally never said that.
No, I'm not saying you did, I'm saying, like,
what I'm saying in this scenario is that Sting's not a guy that's going to be hanging around and doing a bunch of cool stuff. So there's no value in him winning. And Triple H winning solidifies and makes the authority stronger. It makes, you know, it gives a sense of ego, especially if Reigns wins the title, one, and Rollins fails to cash in. Because now, especially if you want to start building your next pay-per-view early, SummerSlam, and you plan on that match being Triple H versus Roman Reigns, this is where you start it.
In your scenario, Sting desperately needs WWE and WWE doesn't need Sting. And I think it is the complete opposite scenario.
Yeah.
I think that too. I'm saying I think they could sell him that. I think they could sell him, because all the conversation before there was negotiations for years, Sting said, boy, I'd really love to wrestle The Undertaker at WrestleMania. That's always what he said. I would love to wrestle The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Years and years. WrestleMania. Right. I'd love to go there. I'd love to do Undertaker.
So why agree to not face Undertaker and lose?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's my feeling as well. My feeling is he thought they were just going to walk away from the deal. That they just said,
I don't think he cares.
That's the thing. He doesn't need them. So if he says, okay, like if they say, we're not giving that, he'll just go, okay, and then he's done.
He did need them. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it wasn't like the WWE was going out saying, please, Sting, please. I heard about Sting wanting the WWE way more than I ever heard about the WWE wanting Sting.
No.
I hear it every single year.
No, I think...
I'm not saying it's true. I'm saying, you know, you'd hear, you'd read, you'd hear Sting himself say, boy, I'd really like to go.
Yeah, even as, like a TNA. As like a passing comment, like, oh yeah, I'd like to wrestle The Undertaker. It wasn't, I'd love to be in the WWE. It was like, I'd just like to work The Undertaker. Because he's like a transcendental talent above all. He's bigger than the WWE, The Undertaker, at WrestleMania. I've heard stories about them like writing him blank checks and him saying, nah, I'm going to TNA. Like before, like I genuinely think if he never was in the WWE, it would not bother him one bit, and he would just retire and be the dude that never was in the WWE, bigger than being in the WWE.
It came to the point where he did not want to go to WWE, and he goes, I'm really going to give this TNA thing a shot. And TNA obviously didn't work out, so he goes, well, fuck them, I'm going to leave, and then if WWE, maybe I'll try WWE, maybe I'll retire. And retirement probably sounded like a great option to him, so unless WWE came along and said, like, you know, we're going to give you money to be in the video game. We're going to give you a Blu-ray. We're going to have you main event at WrestleMania. We'll put you in the Hall of Fame. I don't think the condition is going to be, oh, P.S., you're going to lose that WrestleMania match.
I don't, but that's
if they gave him Taker. If they gave him Taker, I'd say, oh, yeah, he'll lose. I'm not saying he would say, I refuse to lose anybody else, but I think Triple H is like, fuck it. If it gets Sting and Mania, I'll lose. That's fine.
Yeah, and like, I mean, they've worked really hard to try and make children that were born after Sting was relevant care about him and be like, oh, this guy's Sting. This guy's a legend, everybody. That is ruined when he loses immediately, because then he's a loser forever to these children, and they want him to be a historical figure that they own. Like, they've been, obviously when WCW was around, they buried the hell out of WCW. Since they have owned it and the WWE Network is up, they actually talk about WCW in an almost sort of reverent way now, which is kind of strange.
Nah, not really.
I think they do.
No, not at all. No.
I 100% think they do. They sort of talk about it like,
no,
oh,
go watch the Monday Night War.
Yeah, that's recycled footage from when they were burying WCW.
No. Yes, it's not recycled footage when they say, oh, when WCW took away Nash and Ramon, it was evil. It was just sloppy business tactics and just so slimy of them. But when WWF took people from ECW or Jericho or Benoit, those were really smart tactics to create a better brand.
Yeah.
Like, give me a fucking break.
No, that's what I'm saying. This was that Monday Night Raw's series. That was just the Monday Night War DVD they put out like 10 years ago, but with a couple of extra bits in it. I'm not talking about that, because that's just them trying to stuff something on the network so they took what they already had. When they talk on commentary, like about Booker T, about Sting, about all these things, they talk about WCW like, oh, that's a good thing that he did this in WCW. Whereas before, when they would raise people's accomplishments and talk about WCW, it was like, ah, well, what does that matter?
Yeah, it informs the story. That's it. It's not like there's a reverence for WCW.
No,
all
I'm
of
not.
A sudden.
I'm just saying that they
Vince McMahon's ego wouldn't allow that.
No,
to,
I'm not
to go on
the no. I'm not saying they're going to pitch it as a WCW was better than WWE angle. I'm just saying that they value the idea that this guy is a legend. They own all of the evidence that he was a legend, and I think they like the idea of him being a legend still. I don't think that they've brought him in here to job him to Triple H so they can go, fuck you, WCW, even though this has been over for 15 years.
They'll tell part of the story, but they'll tell all of it. Again, they say Sting was a big part of WCW, but they don't mention that he was in TNA for 7 years or whatever it was.
No, but...
And also, like, in the Tatsumi Fujinami video, they mentioned he beat Ric Flair for the NWA title. They didn't mention it was a dusty finish, and it doesn't count in Flair's 16 title reign accomplishments. They just tell you part story so it sounds good. I don't think they're outwardly trying to make CW sound awesome or anything.
No, I just...
Because if they don't mess in WCW, then why give a shit about Sting at all?
Because he's
here's
a legend.
Here's my thing. Yeah, at the end of the day, when, you know, the thing that you mentioned the most, just like hit it on the head. It's about ego. Sting doesn't care whether he wins or loses. Why would Sting care? Why would Sting, of all people, care whether he wins or loses? But being there, it's about, especially if they've already told him, we're going to put you in the Hall next year or whatever they've worked out. I don't think it's something that's relevant to him. So when you look at that fact, one of the reasons Daniel Bryan loses as much as he does is because he's not one to stand up and go, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. Dolph Ziggler loses a lot because he doesn't stand up and say, yeah, I'm not losing here. That's stupid. They're not guys to do that. I don't get a sense that Sting is a guy to stand up and say, yeah, whoa, wait a minute now. This is my one WrestleMania, and if I'm going to have an amazing WrestleMania moment...
No, I understand. I agree with you, but I think it was one of those things that say, well, maybe if we say he's going to win, it's a pot-sweetening kind of, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Triple H understands. I think Triple H is smart enough to understand, I get nothing from beating Sting. You can say whatever you want about the authority. I don't think the authority is any more strong or weaker by beating Sting. He's a 56-year-old.
Infinitely more strong.
No.
Infinitely.
How?
I'll tell you right now, because what it all comes down to is any type of match like this, it's about giving someone fodder. It's what I can say,
what I can point to,
and he's going to beat it over the head, especially if the way I feel that the authority is going to end up taking a beating here over the next few months because you have
but from
to.
Who?
I don't from I think from Reigns. I think they're going to send a lot to Reigns to try to take that belt off of him. And I think they're going to continue to fail. I think that's what I don't know why you're not building Triple H and Roman Reigns. I feel like Triple H wants to put over Roman Reigns or be the guy that makes Roman Reigns, like legitimizes him, you know? And I feel like they're going to do that at SummerSlam, and that road to get there is just a bunch of failure from everyone that isn't Triple H. You have him beat Sting. You have him like riding high. The guy that was got in your way anyway, the guy that was, you know, that was the thorn in your side, you've dispatched him to make them stronger than ever. I can find value there. I guess I just can't find the value in the other way. Like, I'm okay with Sting winning. I just don't know, what does this do? Like, who does this, it helps Sting?
Well, no, but like Triple H can be like, fuck this. The guy who's messed with the authority is now mad. And then he just becomes an even bigger dick to the rest of the roster.
So the idea, well, then why wouldn't Sting just show back up? Are we assuming that he's gone after this? Because I am. Are you guys not?
Yes, yes. No, I am assuming this is gone. Like, Sting will be like, I beat the authority. I've done my piece. Like, it is now your place to keep them at bay.
That makes Sting sound like a bigger dick to me, where it's like, I'm not saying it's right.
I'm just saying.
I know.
It's the narrative they're telling. Okay, so fine. So Triple H beats him, and then he just goes away? And he's like, well, I tried. Bye.
I feel like he would have to be a pretty... That's why I said three pedigrees. But yeah, that's...
Okay.
I feel like he's going to really crush him.
Buddy, I love you, and I don't want you to launch into another 20-minute Triple H tirade, but I think this character of Triple H that you paint doesn't exist in the way you think it does. I don't think he has as big of an ego as you think he does. I think he has no problem losing to Sting. I think he had no problem losing to Daniel Bryan.
I told you, this had nothing...
If we're to believe Punk, he was going to put over Punk at Mania last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not making it about that. I've never made it about that. I don't know. You're the one who's making it about him.
It kind of sounds like you're saying that Triple H demands to win to beat Sting.
I believe the first thing you said was, are you guys high? Triple H is winning because he's Triple H.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the point, is that he has to be I'm not saying he has to win, like, every match, but to lose face to Sting every single time, and then to lose at WrestleMania is a really steep drop-off. The reason he lost to Bryan is because, again, he just needed to lose, and it didn't matter. Because Bryan was going to go on, and they needed like a positive moment at the end of the show. I've never said Triple H has to win every match, but it's such a steep drop off from where they are. Like, if Triple H had gotten the better of Sting at some point, you know, during this feud, or gotten the drop on him,
well, there is still Raw tomorrow.
Exactly, there's still time and to change minds. But at this point, Sting hasn't just beaten him; he's embarrassed Triple H. And that doesn't happen. I've talked about that before in the past. Triple H loses a lot. He's won a lot. But he is rarely fully embarrassed the way Vince McMahon was. Vince McMahon, you know, people pointed guns to his head, pants pulled down. He was hit with, shown in a hospital bed for an entirety of an episode. He was thoroughly embarrassed. Triple H has never really been just like full on embarrassed like that.
But here's what I'll say to close it, for my point anyways. I think they say, we're going to have Sting beat Triple H just in case Sting comes back and we wants to do a second match, or we have something for him to do down the line. But beating him, then he's just done.
You're exactly right. I think Sting's done. If he's coming back, or you get even a whiff, and then he says, hey, maybe, you know, next year I'd like to do something else, or put over Bray Wyatt, one of your young guys. Fuck it. But if he's saying to you, I want to do one of these, and then I'd like to stop wrestling, please, then I just can't find the value in him winning.
I think it'd be nice if he faced Taker at WrestleMania 32 and they both retired.
I think that'd be pretty cool, too, if they both went out that way. I still want him to get revenge on Brock, which can be done, but you know what the funny thing is, in all of this, I want Sting to win. I do want him to win. I just can't, I can't make that leap to where they go after that.
What if Ric Flair attacked Sting and Triple H won that way?
That's possible too, and Flair takes him out, or they take him out somewhere. I mean, there's any number of reasons, but again, it's all about wrestling is persistent, as Max Landis put in his Wrestling is Wrestling. It just continues. It goes on and on, and Triple H is going to be part of that on and on process, and Sting is not. In my view. So that's the only reason, not because Triple H has to win every match, because he doesn't. He just has to stay relevant because he's going to still be in the company. He is the company.
Yeah, but he's always relevant. It doesn't matter if he wins or loses.
He's always relevant because he makes sure he's relevant.
He is factually the boss. That doesn't change if he loses to Sting. He is still the leader of the enemy.
Right, but there's a difference between just being in charge. I mean, like, Vince McMahon's not relevant right now. But he's certainly in charge.
Right, but he could, like, lose to Sting, come out tomorrow and fire three dudes because he's angry about it.
Right, but he's the guy that lost to a 56-year-old man caked in makeup.
He lost to a legend, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
Okay, sure. We'll agree to disagree.
This is the one match on the show I'm sure about. This is weird.
That is definitely going to be Sting?
Well, I never say definitely. I wouldn't say zero chance. Because
we
did,
said definitely last year. We said definitely last year that Undertaker was retaining, and that didn't happen.
Did we all say definitely?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we did.
We were like, this is ludicrous.
I loved that one, Brock won. I'm just going
to
say that.
But you know what it really came down to? Last year, there was a lot more value in Brock winning than Undertaker winning. And that turned out to be true, too. As much as I hate to say it, it did.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think this is another scenario where you just...
I think it's as easy as... If this is his one and only one, then fans associate him as a loser if he loses.
Yeah, but in the end, listen, I think we can all agree, we hope Sting wins.
I think Triple H has won enough and will win enough in the future to,
he's lost three WrestleMania.
Fine, but I think they can revisionist history their way into making him the greatest ever still with his resume. If Sting comes in and loses, what's Sting? That dude that lost and then was never seen again? Oh, that guy.
I think Triple H maybe has just accepted that his legacy is going to be whatever he does with NXT and whatever he does when he owns WWE eventually. That will be his legacy.
Yeah.
This, either way, this is going to be really, now this match sort of matters because I was so sure that people were like, there wasn't anyone that thought Sting was realistically going to win. But
I will give
like,
it to you that the standard logic is if one person is enjoying the advantage throughout the feud, the other one wins. It's the whole whoever holds the title at the end of Raw doesn't get it. And Sting has had the upper hand on Triple H every step. But I do still, despite that, think Sting will win.
And, to Kevin's point, I'll consider it a huge turning point. Everything you said about him believing his legacy is in NXT and that the ego's gone and he's just... I'll believe every word of that if he loses, 100%. Because that means he lost every step of the feud and that he lost the big match. And that means he'll be 0-4, at least. I forget who he faced prior to his first Undertaker encounter at WrestleMania. But
Sheamus.
He's at least... Sheamus. Did he beat Sheamus? He beat Sheamus, right?
I think yes, because it wasn't a title match.
Right.
Have I blanked this from my mind? When did this happen?
WrestleMania 26, Shawn vs. Taker 2, Batista vs. Cena, Jericho vs. Edge, Bret vs. Vince. Swagger won the Money in the Bank.
You know when you said Bret vs. Vince, that's why I've blotted this whole thing out of my mind.
Yeah, that was rough. But so he'll be 0-4. In his last, four WrestleManias, he'll look weaker. He'll lost every. I'll believe every.
No, he beat Brock at WrestleMania.
Yep.
Okay, so that was the last one, Brock.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah, he beat Brock and then lost to Brian the next year.
Oh, that's right. I knew I was missing one somewhere. I thought it was at the back end. So it went Taker, Brock, Brian, and then this last one was against Sting. Okay, well then I still won't believe it, but he'll just be 0-2 again.
I don't know. Let's talk about another thing.
All we've got left, my friends, is the main event. Brock Lesnar defending the WWE Championship against Roman Reigns, 2015 Royal Rumble winner. And I'm very curious to see what you two gentlemen have to say about this. Justin, I feel like you've been kind of biting your tongue with some wacky predictions, perhaps. So take it away, my friend.
Yeah, I don't know. The more I think about it, I keep planning on a Brock Lesnar with the title future. And when I think about where the WWE is after this event, I can only picture Brock with the belt. But I can't get past this match. I can't get past this moment. Is there a way that Brock Lesnar can win, retain the title, fans are happy, and Roman Reigns doesn't look like garbage? And I think the answer is no. I don't Yes. think there's a way to do that. Go ahead.
I think that's the point in Brock Lesnar. I think Brock Lesnar can beat anyone, and it doesn't matter who they are. He's just Brock Lesnar. I think that was the point in him winning, beating the streak. I think that was the point in him beating Cena handedly and barely taking a move. Because he is this legitimized UFC champion, his entire character revolves around this idea that he is above all. He is this unstoppable Greek god of death. He just comes in and he destroys. And I think, obviously, it will make Roman Reigns look bad and people will laugh at him because they don't like him or whatever, but I think from a storyline perspective, Brock can beat anyone, and it doesn't actually affect their character.
So that flies exactly in the face of what I just said.
No, because he doesn't...
Okay, Brock can win, fans are happy.
The fans will be happy because the fans like Brock Lesnar.
Right, but you just said Reigns would look bad in the process, right?
No. He said nobody looks bad losing to Lesnar because it's Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. Like, people will make fun of him, but people are going to boo him whether he wins or loses, so he looks bad from that perspective.
Like, people will understand that you lose to Brock Lesnar because it's Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
So all the stuff, so the beating Brian, everything else, it's going to be fed into Lesnar? I mean, is that the...
Yeah, even he could not beat Brock Lesnar. That's the story you go there. I'm not saying Brock's going to win, I'm just saying that's how. You're trying to say what's the scenario where Brock wins... Fans are happy, Roman doesn't look like a punk, and I'm saying, because he's Brock Lesnar, he can beat anyone, and they have an excuse, it was Brock.
Sure, that's the thing, is it's not just losing, it's like how you lose.
Yeah.
So you can certainly show a level of resilience in Roman Reigns, but I don't know, I think...
There is just legit not a guy I can imagine on that roster putting against Brock Lesnar and me buying them beating Brock Lesnar.
Given the way
he's been booked. I'm not saying no one could take him in real life. I'm saying the way he's booked.
I think the way he's booked, it's pretty much only, like if I had to come down to it, Brian and Orton.
I think, you know, the match that Brock and Cena had at SummerSlam,
right,
that was going to be Brian before he got hurt.
Probably.
No, I'm saying that you could book and you wouldn't kind of hurt the credibility, because I think with Orton, he's got the one hitter, you know, he can beat anybody with the RKO.
True.
It would take several, but he can hit it on anybody. I could see him pinning after like some crazy, like four RKOs on Lesnar. With Brian, I could see them going a different route. The idea that he knows, he's like, I can't destroy Brock Lesnar, but I bet I can pin him for 3 seconds.
Yeah, like, I bet I can catch you
for 3 seconds.
Yeah, because
that's all I need. You can talk about how great you are, but if I'm better than you for 3 seconds, yeah, I have that belt. You don't.
Well, that's the whole thing. All of Brock's matches are huge fights, and I think have every single one of them been a no DQ almost. I don't know, but they're all these huge, huge.
Well, pretty much.
Yeah, they've been these huge, huge, huge fights. And if Brian's like, yeah, you're tougher than me, you're bigger than me, whatever, I can pin you. That's a good story. Because he could small package him and then win, and then Brock destroys him afterwards. And, you know, you can do whatever with that. But Brian, yeah, I could see that. I still think they may do that match, but just not at WrestleMania. Because that's the thing, everyone desperately wanted Brian to beat Reigns so that he could face Brock, because they really want to see Brian versus Brock. I'm not saying I'm not disappointed Brian didn't win, but I do think they could still do that match.
That same reason I want to see it, morbid curiosity, what would a Brock-Brian match look like,
and I think,
is still there.
Yeah, and I think if you took the belt off Brock, I'm still not committing to who I think will win this match yet, it's an even bigger reason to do it, because obviously they don't seem to want Brian to win that belt again, but you could have him beat Brock with no belt on the line, and then you can still do that story you just said. I don't think they realize that story is there for them, but the one you just told is a very happy one for me.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. But that's the thing, just like you said, I don't think they know, you know, that they have it. I don't think they know where they'd go with Brock if they plan on him winning, which I don't think they do. So I'm going to say that Roman Reigns wins, and it's going to be a very strange atmosphere to end WrestleMania.
I will say, if Brock retains, then what?
Okay, it's your turn to make your final prediction, Matt, because now Justin has said his prediction, on to you.
Well, it's a heart-head thing. I want Brock to win, but just every part of my pessimistic WWE expectation says Reigns wins, and they ignore the booing, and they just assume that they can correct it, because this is the problem. While we all say, oh, everyone hates Roman Reigns, if you actually listen, enough people like him that they can get away with saying he's really popular.
It's that same sort of you hear what you want to hear that I mentioned at the beginning, where, you know, they've so divided the fan base and thinned it out so that there's everyone's favorite thing is something different from everyone else's favorite thing, that he's still cheered, but the audience that's going to be coming in at WrestleMania, unless you take this one Raw and you really turn Lesnar into a bad guy, which, by the way, I forgot to mention this, the way you have Undertaker start to get revenge is before the match even starts, the lights go out, all start screaming Brock's name, and the lights come back on, and the screams stop, and Paul's gone. That's why Brock loses.
Damn.
Brock loses, because at the end of the day, when he's looking at his mentor for advice, he's not there.
When does he ever do that, though?
Well, that's the point, is that you don't, it's never mattered until it mattered, until he was actually down, until he's actually, and he's looking over there, and you just, all you need is one camera shot of an empty space where Paul would be, and the look on, like, Brock's face, and you just see Reigns run the ropes and spear through him. Could at the very least keep Brock strong, and you get your champion. And the thing I'm most curious about at this WrestleMania is that main event, that atmosphere. I don't know what it's going to be like. Are they going to sit on their hands because they're not interested? Are they going to rally behind one guy?
If you imagine if they'd gone ahead with Randy Orton versus Batista, I don't think this match would be as weird as that one would have, because who do you cheer there? Like, they don't like either of those dudes at that point. I think you would still get a loud reaction if Reigns wins, purely because Brock's had that belt for so long and it's a title change at WrestleMania. Like, you'll get enough people cheering. And especially if they do some crazy match where they're just punching each other super hard and Reigns flies out of the ring and they do stuff with the table and all this. This is the thing. Reigns is still just good enough that you can kind of turn this around. It's just the way they're booking him. I just think, you know, with the way WWE books, I think Vince decided Reigns is winning months ago, and I also think they aren't positive Brock is gonna stay. Although I will say that if the last time Brock left, it was just a complete fuck you to the wrestling industry. I don't think, it's not impossible that he could go to the UFC and then at some point do a match, like in between fights maybe. I don't know if he would want to, because I mean,
Dana didn't let him do it when he wanted to face Taker at Mania 27.
Oh, okay. Well, then there's that. Kevin, who do you think is going to win this one?
I think Reigns wins and Rollins cashes in and wins the belt from him.
But that's also a weird moment.
That to me is like the very WWE thing to do. If I were to do it, I would have Reigns lose, and but I have like a very competitive match with Brock. Like, this, like, he should be not, like, almost Brock's match in certain ways. Like, he kicks out of stuff, and Brock's like, what the fuck? I was not expecting this guy to be in my league. Then at the end, Brock goes, you know what? You didn't beat me for the belt. You know, he doesn't have to say anything, but this is just thinking. He puts out his hand to shake his hand, and Reigns just fucks him. He just, like, kicks him in the stomach, throws him, you know, head first in the steel post, maybe uses some weapons on him, puts him through the table. Then Rollins can cash in on him and win the belt. Then you have two very strong heels, because in my opinion, Reigns needs a strong heel run before he can have a strong face run. That seems to just be the trend in wrestling, like always. Austin, Rock, Jericho, who, like, everybody has a strong heel run before they become a babyface. And I think that's what he needs, and this would be a great way to do it. But I just think WWE's going to have him win he might just win the title, and they're like, well, good night, folks. But if he wins, I think there's a very high chance that Brock beats the fuck out of him, Rollins cashes in, and then that's that, and then you can have Rollins and Reigns at the next pay-per-views. I think it's foolish to have Reigns win and that's just be the end of it. Not to say they won't do that, but I mean, I just don't see how that's how you end WrestleMania.
I love Seth Rollins. They obviously are high on him if they've put him in the position he's in. I just don't feel they think he's a big enough star to be the last face you see at WrestleMania yet.
What if Brock and Reigns don't end the show?
How would they not?
They've had plenty of times where the title isn't. Sheamus won the Royal Rumble and opened WrestleMania.
Not since there's been one belt, and not since it's Brock Lesnar.
But like there was no bigger match. Well, I guess that's a lie. Rock versus Cena, they were gonna main event WrestleMania 29 no matter what.
Sure.
And Bryan winning was the right way to end Mania 30. Reigns just winning is clearly the wrong way to end WrestleMania. And if Sting's going to win, or if Taker's going to win, there you have two ways to ever end WrestleMania end on the feel-good note they enjoy having so much.
I know a lot of people have said that if Brock Lesnar is leaving, if he does end up leaving, and you still want to keep Heyman around, and you want to, you know, you want to do a double, you know, you want to do a turn, like you said, you want to turn Reigns heel because he needs a good heel run and turn a face run. Who's a better mouthpiece than Paul Heyman? You know, Brock Lesnar's own manager.
It solves so many of their problems.
Yeah.
Reigns can't be a main eventer because he can't talk. Doesn't need to. He has Heyman. Brock's on the outs. We can keep Heyman around and stick him with this guy instead.
Gets a massive heat. Gets Reigns massive heat.
And then who's his first opponent?
The first opponent.
Bryan. I mean,
yeah, you got to go back to Bryan. Well,
okay, I mean, done. Okay, cool. I'm cool with all this. Let's do that.
It's Bryan or it's Orton, because if Orton beats Rollins, he's like, you know, I could sure beat you.
Yeah. This is the thing. I honestly don't know when you have Rollins cash in. I for some reason I don't think he's doing it at Mania, but I honestly don't know when. Like when he won that belt, when he won the case, I was like, ah, oh, cool. And then I just thought, when is he ever going to cash this in? Obviously he will at some point. They're not just going to have his year. I mean, is there a year? Yeah, it's any time in the next year, isn't it? It's yeah. Obviously not going
to.
So run
next
out.
Money in the Bank, he's going to have to. Yeah. He's going to have to forfeit it or cash it in.
I don't know. I don't know when he cashes it in because
maybe he cashes it in advance and headlines Money in the Bank in the title match.
The way his the way his character works, he kind of has to win the belt because he's the Edge style like sleazy heel who's going to come in and cheat and win when someone has been destroyed. But I just can't see him with the belt. As much as I love him, as much as at one point I thought he was probably the best wrestler in the world for a few weeks.
Heyman could also join up with Rollins after Rollins beats Reigns or Brock for the title.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they did have that collusion last year and everything.
You know, you said, you made reference to the fact that you got to have a good heel run before you have a good face run. I think that's where they're going with Rollins. I think he's going to fail to cash in. I think that Reigns is going to have a run until at least, you know, SummerSlam or you know, try to sustain a reign unless someone else comes on fire. And I think Triple H wants to be the guy to really cement Roman Reigns. I still think he has, you know, some good matches left in him, Triple H, but only on big shows. And I can see Triple H, Roman Reigns at... I have this dream scenario, too, where Reigns, like, ends Triple H's career by taking his sledgehammer, snapping it in half, and then grabbing the big boulder part and giving him the Superman punch. So, like, he symbolically, like, breaks his weapon, you know,
yeah.
And knocks him out for good. But I feel like there's a moment coming where they're going to face off. And who knows how, you know, if he wins or if Triple H, you know, starts kind of thinking of himself as champion, whether that puts Rollins on the outs with them or not. And he ends up turning face.
I mean, he could be, I mean, it's a lazy comparison, but he could be a new Jeff Hardy style guy. I mean, he's this sort of weird, punky, athletic dude that if you lean into the Tyler, you know, the thing that made him popular as Tyler Black, if you leaned into that, they could have a smaller version of, a less drug-addled version of Jeff Hardy. That's what I always thought.
Yeah, yeah. Seth Rollins doesn't drink enough paint to be Jeff Hardy.
Just when they signed him, I thought, he could be kind of a Jeff Hardy light replacement at some point.
I think he's developed his character as a guy with a heavy ego enough that he could be Shawn Michaels light. I really think he's that good.
Yeah.
I think he's good enough that in the tallest guy, Big Show can look at him and say, I'm going to knock you out. He can say, I'm going to stomp your face into the mat, you know?
Yeah.
Because he has the moveset.
He does.
He's got the same size.
He does carry himself really well. And his feud with Cena, I know he a million outside interferences, but he did look strong throughout that. And like they kind of put him as a guy that's like, he's just really good. And like he just
and
says,
just like Sean, just like Sean, even his worst, you kind of still want to cheer him because the matches are really good.
Yeah,
like you still want to. Like, do you remember the reaction he got? I'll never forget it. The reaction he got after Brock, Cena, and him had that match at the Rumble.
Oh, gotcha.
Was literally people standing up and giving him like a standing ovation. Yep. Like it was people clapping for him, just being able. Like that's how good he is. It's I still can't cheer you because I know I'm not supposed to, and I respect you enough not to cheer you, but damn it if I'm going to sit here and let you walk out without hearing it, you know?
Yeah.
It was a great reaction, and it was one of those cementing, like, he's here for good. Like, this isn't like a wave, like the Dolph Ziggler's ride. I think he's going to be at the top for a good long while.
I was really impressed with that because when they put him in that match, there's kind of like a list of guys that you can put against Brock Lesnar and guys you just can't. And I wasn't confident that he could do stuff with Brock, but he did, and it was great stuff, and that was a hell of a match.
Probably the WWE match of the year.
Probably.
It'll probably end up
without question, probably. To recap, I say Reigns wins with the Rollins cash-in. Justin, you say...
I say Reigns wins, no cash-in, and we all go home disappointed.
And Matt.
Logically, I think Reigns wins, and we all go home disappointed. But just to be different, I'll say Brock wins, no cash-in.
Great, awesome. I like this. I like the three different...
And then he says, I'm going to go home and jump on my wife and drink rival rival sponsors' beer.
He's going to eat Subway sandwiches.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so that's WrestleMania, everybody. It's been a long podcast. We hope at least our opinions and thoughts were informative and fun to listen to. You can leave your own feedback for in the comments section at pwponderings.com or tweet any of us. We'll throw Twitter handles at you here in a second. So we'd love to hear your feedback on WrestleMania as well. Any other thoughts, gentlemen, before we close this podcast and get to plugs?
I'm still like excited for WrestleMania because it's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like it's like the Super Bowl where it's two teams that you like don't care about at all. Like, not two teams you hate, but like two teams that you're like, I don't know who's on those teams.
That's every Super Bowl for me.
If it's just any sort of sporting contest where you're like, I don't know what, like, I'm almost more excited about like with friends coming over and I'm going to do this thing where I do like in-house French bread pizzas that I do. Like, it's going to be amazing and have lots of beer and liquor. And
That's actually a great question. You know, what are we eating for Mania? Mania has now become my my grilling season cook-off. I bought a grill last year, a coal grill. I love it. And so I'll be having friends over. The thing is, I say I'll buy a bunch of meats and grill them up. You bring sides. If you want to bring some meat to throw on the grill too, that's awesome. So I'll be grilling out chicken and brats and burger. People will bring, you know, sides of stuff, some beers, whatever else, and we're just going to have a good time. So I am excited for WrestleMania Sunday, even if my excitement for WrestleMania isn't super high. But honestly, talking to you guys makes me more excited for WrestleMania just in general.
I can just make myself excited for WrestleMania just because I like seeing the crazy elaborate entrances they do. Triple H last year with his throne and his three NXT ladies and stuff, and when The Undertaker... Triple H used When the Bell Tolls and all this, and Bray Wyatt with his live band, and I like seeing all that crazy stuff they do and just the spectacle of it. And you know, sometimes it's stupid, but just I like it. It's big, and because I know it's big, I psych myself up for it. So whether a WrestleMania is looking like it's going to be good, bad, or in the middle, I'm just always excited for WrestleMania because of
the pageantry.
Yeah. Just like, all right, WWE, you've got, this is you saying this is the biggest thing. Show me what you got. Show me what you've come up with this year. And that's what they're really good at.
And there's always something amazing, you know, on all these shows. Even maybe that one of the worst, WWE WrestleMania main events ever, Cena versus Miz. Terrible match, terrible finish, terrible way to end WrestleMania. But I'll always remember the video package that played before the Miz and his entrance and how it made him look like $1 million.
Yep.
And, you know, when I think about that moment, I don't think about Miz before and how uninterested I was in him. I don't think about after how they squandered his career and one of the best talkers in the company is now just sort of floundering. I think of that moment and how hyped I was and how I was like, oh, this feels like he feels legitimate. And you get those, truly those WrestleMania moments. I'd really love it if commentary would stop telling me, like JBL just going, this is truly an amazing moment we are experiencing together on the WWE Network for nine, like, shut up. Gravitas is knowing when to shut up sometimes, you know? And they just need to fill that silence with like, well, this has been amazing. You agree, right? Yeah, it's definitely been amazing. No, you don't have to answer. It's been amazing. Everyone, good night. And then,
Whenever they say WrestleMania moment, Matt, that's another good drinking time.
Yeah, okay. I'm really excited to see what they do with Sting's entrance. I know that sounds weird, but, you know, I mean, Sting has always been this character that they do weird stuff with. The lights going off, he's up in the rafters, weird, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, like, I was, when he appeared, one of the things that excited me was, what are WWE going to do with him? Because they have this a higher budget than all these other companies had. Well, I mean, technology has advanced beyond what WCW had at the time. But just, what can this cutting-edge, HD, crazy, high-production stuff do with Sting? And I think they've done some pretty cool stuff with him so far, and I'm excited to see what they do with his entrance.
Do a Batman Begins entrance, where he comes out, and like when Ra's al Ghul is training Batman, and he doesn't know which ninja's who. Like, it's just a fleet of people that look exactly like Sting, and, like, Triple H doesn't know which one it is. Like, I feel like that'd be a good way to, like fool him. But, yeah, there's going to be some great entrances. I know Rusev is supposedly getting a big entrance. Yeah. So, yeah, that's always pretty cool. And I myself, food-wise, I'm doing the French bread pizzas where you cut up French bread and huddle them out and throw a bunch of like pizza toppings in there, and I'll have like a buffet line where people can just put whatever they want, like create their own, and they're delicious, and I'll probably do something else.
I'm jealous of all this because it's obviously because of the time difference, it's on a lot later over here, so it's not really a big barbecue type thing. It's always been an arrangement of salted snacks and
sweets and stuff, candy, whatever you want to call them, that kind of thing. Or I've even watched WrestleManias at like 9 a.m. in the morning the next day, because I was like, I'm not staying up until 4 or 5 in the morning. So it's a right. different experience here. Yeah. And there's a very strong possibility. Drinking game is played through the first half. She passes out. I think I'm tired, and I watch this quote-unquote serious matches next thing in the morning. And it's always difficult to stay, you know, like, I found out that Undertaker lost before I got to see it last year, and that sucked, but hey.
Yeah, I felt bad. I think I even sent you a message of, like, something about that, like, watch the show. Oh, no, wait, I didn't even get a chance. I went to, and I saw you tweet about it. You're like, well,
yep.
that's the way that works. I was like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah, and it's just like, what am I going to do? I mean,
move to America.
I'd like to, man, but, you know, visas and green cards and...
I say this with all the love in the world. We are such a better country.
Tell me how.
No, this podcast is ending. Shut up. Shut up. We can talk about this off air.
If Rusev wins, will you tell me that you are not a better country?
I can make the argument either way.
Okay.
All right, so that's our WrestleMania predictions. Justin, throw some plugs.
I feel like we missed a match, but we definitely didn't. It's just a really thin show.
I know.
At Justin J. Houston is my Twitter. I do a bunch of podcasts on PW Ponderings with Kevin Ford. One of them is called Viva Chikara. It's all about another wrestling promotion called Chikara Pro. If you think WWE kind of takes wrestling too seriously, or if you just kind of want something wacky, like a comic book meets like a Saturday morning cartoon show, that's kind of Chikara Pro in a nutshell. And the other show we do with our friend Brad Garoon is called Fluting the Pig. And it's all about Adventure Time, a children's cartoon show that's colorful and vibrant. Some would say the Chikara Pro of children's television shows. By people, I say that. Those are all the things I do. Kevin, what do you do?
Well, first I want to throw it to Matt, because I got a mother load of plugs to do.
And you know I have nothing. I am Matt C. Waters on Twitter. My plan of, like, slowly coming back to PWP and doing, like, one thing has backfired on me, because I'm now doing about 4, maybe. I review PWG DVDs as usual. It's just me saying, buy this DVD. Like, one, they will have a bad show 1 month, and I'll say, don't buy this for the love of God, but it hasn't happened yet. I review NXT every week now because I love NXT, and I said, I'm going to review NXT, and Chris went, do it. And I went, okay, watch me, and now I do. And I might be reviewing another company's DVDs, but I won't commit to that yet. We're going to see how that goes. But yeah, I'd like to do more podcasts. You guys should do more podcasts with me. Kevin, plug stuff.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at kford13. But the mother load for us is WrestleMania weekend is not just about WrestleMania. It is about a billion indie companies doing shows. And we here are going to have coverage for every single one of them. A lot of people from the website, I know Chris and some others, are going to be in the trenches of the San Jose area going to a bunch of these shows and live tweeting them. So you're really going to want to follow at PW Ponderings on Twitter. I believe Chris is going to, and Chris, I apologize if I messed this list up, I believe he's going to Evolve, the WWN Supercard Show, King of the Indies, Ring of Honor, and yeah, I guess that's it. All those shows, so I believe he's going to be live tweeting all of those and maybe doing podcasts about them. I know Jerome is going to be doing reviews for a bunch of stuff. He's also going to be doing preview podcasts for a lot of the things coming out this weekend, reviewing not only all of those shows, but Shine Wrestling, Shimmer, and Kaiju Big Battle. So we're going to be having coverage of all of those for the weekend, either live tweeting, or if nothing else, we will have results of every single show at pwponderings.com. Don't go searching random message boards for results anymore. You have a one-stop shop to find all the results for everything going on this weekend, and we highly encourage you to do so. And if people are wondering, hey, where can I find results for this, tell them to go to our website, because we're the best, and we know we're the best. And yeah, that's all that. You know, to get podcasts and things, you're listening to this, for God's sake. So that's fine. So Justin, Matt, thanks for doing this. Always a pleasure. And yeah, we need to do more podcasts because there's a lot of cool movies and stuff coming out this summer. So that would be fun things to talk about. Age of Ultron, Ant-Man, maybe Fantastic Four, and then Star Wars next Christmas.
The Daredevil Netflix show.
Oh my God.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, good time. So maybe we'll be doing shows about that. But again, no commitments. Matt can't even commit to a bag of chips.
Sure can. I fear commitment. Bye.
So, for Matt and Justin, I'm Kevin Ford. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. And no matter what we have to say, enjoy your WrestleMania Sunday.